Welcome back to a real 8-4 Play podcast.
Here we go.
We'll see.
Your host, Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald, and I am back, baby. Back.
Crickets.
There are people cheering at home. You just can't hear them. JJ.
Yeah. Hi.
That is a man. JJ, you'll never ever give up. He will never ever let you down.
Oh,
most
God.
Importantly, he will never ever let you down. That's JJ Justin Epperson. Thank you for taking care of hosting duties while
I was
gone.
We had fun.
I have some notes for you.
Oh, wow. Oh, so you listened to the podcast.
We can get to those later. Yeah. I was listening to
By the way, you're looking podcast. Very like Mediterranean and swarthy today.
I think. Is that a good thing?
Well, I mean, it means you got color.
Is that my olive skin that you're referring
to?
Yes, it was a wonderful time. It was 3 weeks, which I think is the longest vacation that I've ever taken.
That is a long vacation.
Anywhere, wow. Yeah. And I will say, like, past that second week, something magical happens. Like,
really?
It's too bad. You know, like, nobody ever gets to take longer than a two-week vacation, but it's like... Yeah, it's no longer like a vacation. It's like, wait, I'm
free.
I'm done.
Going somewhere else. You're like a different dimension. Like it's awesome.
I'll try that someday before I die.
And it was also good timing that Summer Games Done Quick was happening. Although we can talk about that later. But which I really, really enjoyed. Although the timing, they had a lot of weird. It was not all the hits really this year. They were doing some more like different smaller games. A lot of like tuning in my local time, or like early in the morning or late at night was like Barbie Adventures.
Yeah, the schedule in Japan was not very good either.
It didn't work out well this year. Yeah, but I mean, I don't mind watching those video on demand, and
totally.
There were some fucking awesome ones. So we can talk about that more a little later, but introing around the horn here, there, then we have Roy Sellout Blakely.
Yo. Totally don't know what that's
referencing. What could that possibly be about, Roy?
Sellout.
What did you sell out? What did you used to do for the love, man?
Oh,
and then now you got fucking Big Brother.
No, it's still
pony
it's
up.
Still. You're talking about my guide, my monster?
Yes.
Yeah. It's still made with love.
What is it? What are you doing?
So I wrote a little Monster Hunter Beginner's Guide for Polygon.
A little one. Pretty big.
It is pretty big. Yeah, I'm gonna. It's not done yet. Too. I got more.
Oh, really?
You're
gonna be adding to it?
Yes.
I noticed. Like, I was just kind of leafing through it, but I noticed like the animated GIFs and stuff like that is pretty nice.
Thank you.
Use any of the illustrations from your actual book, your old book?
Well, no, I thought it'd be clearer if I used the game this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out how to make GIFs, so that was kind of fun, actually.
Oh, so you made all those as well?
Did you use that with your capture equipment?
Yes.
Or? Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. How much of that information is also available in your award-winning Monster Hunter for Beginners
book? See, the book is more of like kind of like an overview of how to play the game in general, like in like broad strokes and like the patterns that you'll see in all the different games. Whereas like this guide for Polygon is more like how to play
specifically for Generations.
Right.
I see. So how is it doing? Do you get any feedback on like a lot of people are reading it? They don't have that Kotaku like little flame or anything, do they, that show you how
it's last I saw it had 4 comments, and like the first one was somebody being like, is this out for PC? And then like 2 people were like, nope. So I mean like
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right,
people are being nice about it on Twitter though, like
okay.
I've had a few people
be
like, wow, you know, one guy was like, I've played this game for years and I didn't know some of this stuff. So that's like,
wow.
Yeah,
oh, that's so awesome. Good. what is your top tip if you had to choose one that you're most proud of from that guide?
Top probably, you know,
wisdom.
Probably the whole thing with like for the first monster you fight, if
yeah.
you break his tail, like it makes him much sloppier and easier to beat.
Mm.
And like I got a really good gif of that moment, so
nice.
I was proud of that.
Very nice, good gif. Good gif is it's hard to find sometimes.
I'm very glad that we're all saying gif on this podcast.
Not me,
way.
I'm gif.
Yeah, John is the
I'm a
gifer.
Do you call Kevin Gifford? Kevin Gifford.
I think
don't have this argument
this,
with me.
Yeah, I think we've had
when,
this
when it first came out.
Times.
People called it gif. You youngsters added this gif thing.
No,
the guy who made it
no,
called it gif.
Wrong.
It's always been a gif.
I was on CompuServe.
The oldest
me and
one
Jeff,
here. I'm
Jeff
the oldest one here. You can't call me the youngster. I call the oldster.
It is and was and will be Jif.
And that very obstinate wrong person is John Strong Island Ricciardi. My new Italian accent that I picked up while I was over in the old country. Yeah, Strong Island.
Did you see any of my cousins out there?
No. Actually, I might have. I don't know. I saw like a lot of people. That's some fucking good food over there, man. You got to go over there.
How does the pizza compare?
Fucking amazing.
Really?
Like, you go to any shitty little, like, literally the fucking train station. We were just waiting for the first train.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, I know we like just got here. It's such a cliche, but I'm just going to get a pizza.
Yeah.
It was like... And Japan has good Italian style pizza.
Yes.
It was if that pizza was here in Tokyo, like I would go to that place every once in a while.
Huh. Wow.
It's not the best one I've ever had, but it was cheap, probably like a third the price that you would pay for it here.
I heard food is very cheap in general.
You can get you can find expensive places, but holy shit, just the average hole in the wall In Italy, at least the places we went, had really, really good pizza. But
nice.
But yes, Strong Island. I didn't know.
Is that what retarding means? Or
yeah. No. Well.
Right. That's what it actually.
No, I don't know. I don't know
what it means. Yeah.
From the ancient tongue.
No, I didn't realize it was possible. Like some people are proud to be from Long Island. They like don't identify like I'm from New York. They're like I'm from Long Island.
I'm sure GBD knows all about that. Yeah, like Strong Island is a thing.
Is that because
did people say that with Long Island?
Is there like a Gold Gym there?
I've never heard that.
Is there like a Gold Gym there or something? Why is it Strong Island?
No, because I don't know. They're all like Jersey Shore guys.
It's like Muscle Beach, but in New York. Or something.
John, explain. You're from there.
I'm not from Long Island. I'm not from Long Island.
What?
I'm from Staten Island.
Oh, okay. God damn it.
Shaolin.
Oh, damn it.
That's all right.
That was close. Yes,
we invented the Wu-Tang Clan and the largest garbage dump in the world.
Is there a Staten Island like nickname?
Shaolin. Yeah.
Oh, really?
But, yeah.
What? People call it that because of Wu-Tang?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet there's a less cool name that you're not telling us.
I never said that was cool to begin
Something
with.
Something along
that's
the Strong
only,
Island
the only name we've ever
level.
Had. Staten Island was the, like, has always been the fifth and, like, unknown borough of New York City. Like, we weren't even on the map until, like, Wu-Tang appeared. And then some people, like, heard about us, basically.
Hmm.
We're, like, the place where you get the boat to see the Statue of Liberty. And that's pretty much... And we literally had, when I was young, the largest garbage dump in the world.
So it's been replaced. I don't know. It's somewhere in China.
I feel bad for anyone I know who still lives there because I'm so. Once I got off, I never went back, and I wouldn't recommend going back. But
okay, yeah, because I knew
actually George R.R. Martin is from there.
Oh,
and,
there you go.
And he based the map of Westeros on the view from his apartment, like across
what?
The bay to Staten Island. Yeah. See, you can look it up. Look up Staten
what?
Island and Game of Thrones, and you'll see, like, there's a relation there from, like, Bayonne, I think it was.
Yeah, because I knew you didn't, like,
That's
you weren't
funny.
Really, like, you'd be like, I'm from New York, and not really, like, not super excited about Staten Island in general, and that's why I got Long Island and Staten Island.
No, Long Island is actually lower on the pole to me than Staten Island. Staten Island is, like, a very, like, I would not recommend you visit it, but it was a cool place to grow up. We had a lot of forests, we had a lot of, like, places to hang out. It was literally an island, so, like, it was fun, but, like, no, it's different from Long Island. Long Island is, like, where your rich grandparents, like, moved to or whatever, like...
And Long Island Joe.
Right, yeah. And
yes,
GBD.
Just all rich grandparents. Yeah. And oh, is that where GBD is?
I think so, yeah.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, right on. I thought... Okay, well, that's awesome. Rounding out the cast, last but not least, your Palico and mine, YouTube superstar, super sensation.
Superstar.
Gaijin Hunter Ivanko, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
How you doing?
Finally, you guys are talking about Monster Hunter.
Yeah. Well, we saved it, and we're concentrating it all into one big ball.
Uh-oh, 12-hour podcast coming up?
We save it for the leap years.
Rolling you into
nice.
It, yeah. So, we couldn't talk about it last episode.
We talked about the Japanese version a while back. But
right, we did. Way back when that came out, but... We have the English version now. How many hours do you have into it?
I have 82 hours.
That's pretty good. When did it come out? Like a week
Six
ago?
6 days ago.
Damn.
Officially. I got it a little bit earlier.
Okay.
I got the hookup as a media copy. It's the first time in my life I ever got a hookup.
Oh, really?
I know.
They're starting to notice.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you know, you're in Japan, you're like, do I get a shutdown notice or do they just leave me alone? And it's like, oh, they got me a copy. Wow, that's
either
nice.
Either a C&D or a copy.
They should. You've done a lot for the community.
No, absolutely.
That was really nice of them. So it got me a good head start. So that was awesome.
Just remember us when, you know, all the groupies and the cocaine and all that shit starts going. When you get into that upper echelon of Monster Hunter fandom and YouTube superstardom. You know,
someone on Twitter the other day was like, well, you got an early copy, but you work for Capcom. I'm like, no, I don't.
This would be a good time to mention,
yes,
right. Top of the show, which I think I've reminded myself with renewed vigor that we should remind people that everything said on this podcast is
purchased by our clients.
That's right. You should trust nothing that we say, and you should assume that everything. Sometimes we can't say what we're working on because we're under NDA, so you should just go ahead and assume that everything that we say, whether it's good or bad, is because somebody paid us to do it, and that we have no like real opinions of our own, and that this is wholly sponsored by the clients that 8-4 works with, like yes. Nintendo and Capcom and Sony, and who all do we work
Supercell,
with?
Square, Platinum,
Namco, Konami, you name y'all. It, pretty much. Except Microsoft.
Not so much Konami anymore.
If you can believe it, you can believe what we say about Microsoft. So, with that out of the way, Adam, what should we just dive right into Generations?
Do we want to talk about this alcohol real
Why
quick?
Why don't we do that up top?
Yeah,
we want to thank a listener who sent us a couple nice, some chocolates from the far west here, from Europe. That is Mr. Tristan Davis.
Kavanen? Kavini?
Kavini?
Kavini.
Kavini. But it's a Davis-Kavini, so you know it's...
He's a hyphened.
But he was in here visiting in Japan, so hopefully he's having a great trip. He gave us a nice bottle of...
We're not sure.
Whatever this is.
It smells really good,
It
though.
Says Leuten Linney.
It smells alcoholic.
Aquavit.
We're going to have a lot of
We have a great
tasting.
Liquor cabinet, thanks to our listeners.
No
I gotta
kidding.
Say, we have
yes.
an amazing shelf full
we
of
have,
stuff.
We
yeah.
have fucking awesome listeners. So thanks very much to you, sir. Hope you have a great trip here.
Yeah.
Why don't we
Cheers
have a little live
you.
Tasting. Cheers.
All right.
Let's clean that glass.
Adam, you got guys, one too there. Good, pick it up.
Let's just adventurous. Savor the kind of a pepperminty, kind of furniture polish kind of smell.
Licorice. It's like licorice. Oh.
I don't know. I kind of like it.
No, I think it's
very, very licorice-y, yeah.
It's a little
holy
hot.
Wow.
It's a, yeah.
My it's like if someone burning. Distilled like a crate of Red Hots. Remember that candy, the Red Hots?
Yes.
Like distilled into like pure form. Hmm. And then added.
It's got a little black licorice.
That's all I get is the black
flavor
licorice.
Flavor yeah. to it.
I like it.
Tastes Ohio, strong.
Ohio, I just woke up.
That's a nice like.
For me, it just tastes like burning.
Tastes like burning. Yes, okay, wow. So
thank you, Tristan. That was
thank
very
you very
cool
much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now then, on to business.
Yes,
what we're here for:
the hunting of monsters.
Who else has played Generations? Not the Japanese version.
I have my hand up, and so does Roy.
Yeah. Mark, where's your hand? Where's your hand, Mark?
It's down. Dude, I was just got back. Give me a break.
I don't,
it's
I
not
don't,
a vacation without Monster Hunter.
I only have a Japanese 3DS, so...
Like, that's some kind of
Did
excuse.
You play Cross Duty? I forget.
JJ played it.
The Japanese
yeah, I played Generations.
Okay,
the
so
Japanese
you can
version.
Talk about this.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'll just be the one person that sits around and
You're saving it like wine,
questions.
Right? You're laying
yeah.
an age, and you're gonna...
You know, I could get dragged back in if the other people around me are playing it. I'm a very social Monster Hunter.
You're the one who got me into the game, and you're not even playing it anymore. It's like finding out like your old teacher is like
not that I'm
homeless.
Not, it's not that I.
I really feel like it needs like a good console version.
To me, it's not that I'm not into it. It's literally just that I don't have time.
Okay.
And the thing that it takes for me to get into it is to have friends that play it. It used to be something I could really, I had more time, I would enjoy single player by myself and then also play with my friends and I could kind of push them to play it as well. But now I've just been too busy and I literally haven't been around. So
I do think if it was on a TV though, it would be easier to get into because like it is, I mean, yeah. There's nothing wrong with the handheld versions and everything, but like
right.
I just, the most fun I've ever had in my life playing Monster Hunter was when we were playing on like Wii or
right.
like, you know, or like basically like console versions because like, I don't know, there's something
chat.
About the big, yeah, the voice chat, the big TV, like, it just...
Voice
really
chat is big, but
it.
I mean, in the age of Twitch, I mean, you guys know the whole, like, Discord server thing? That's,
yes.
That's awesome. Being able to, like,
no,
open up a random room.
Inform the people, I mean, of course,
yeah.
we
yeah,
all
yeah.
know exactly what you're talking about, but for our ignorant listeners, why don't you explain a little bit?
Okay, I'm
going to
screw this up because I'm not actually that well-versed in it,
mm-hmm.
and everyone makes a joke about it, like, oh, Adam's doing the Discord, cue 10 minutes while he tries to figure it out, but
okay.
No, it's kind of, it's neat. It's like Skype, but it's just in your browser, and you don't have to have, like, any account. You literally just get a link, you open it up, and it's a free chat room.
Mm.
So if you're doing, like, a random room of hunters, you could say...
Huh.
Hey, like, just join in. You can join me on voice chat, and boom, you don't have to become friends with them. You don't have to
yeah.
give them your personal information.
Oh, God, good. I don't
it's
want to
awesome.
Become friends with
no, and you don't
people.
Need a plug-in or stalls or Flash. Thank God.
Right.
You know, it's good.
Okay,
it's very cool.
Right.
So, like, a lot of Twitch people are doing that, where they'll say, "Here's my Discord if you guys want to join the room randomly.
It's like a burner.
Just come on
it's
in.
It's like a one-time like, cell phone that you buy and then throw away after the drug deal.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Wham, bam, thank you.
So are you using that?
So do you when you Twitch, you have this on and people just voice chat with you?
No, so I actually don't Twitch a lot. I'm praising it, just giving you, telling you, you know, there's an option.
You're not like a live type guy.
I'm not
a streamer.
I do join a lot of streams. I'm on Twitch almost every night.
Right.
Mm. I'm part of a Twitch team, so like I'll join in and I'll join on chat.
You want to plug your
But
Twitch
I don't
team
actually
here?
Like yeah, it's the Poogie Platoon. Poogie Platoon is an awesome.
Oh, I saw them
Twitch
on Twitter today.
There's about a dozen of us or so on Twitch, but it's the idea is just very positive Monster Hunter community. Not leaders, but people who go out of their way to teach and to help new people.
You can call
are
yourself
there
leaders. That's okay.
It's nice, but it's just positive.
Are you guys like
right?
Ocean's 11 or so? You guys got you're from like different parts of the world, and you're specialists in like certain monster.
It's funny
hunter.
Because the group, you've got one guy who's like a mixed martial artist, other guy is a musician who makes unbelievable music, which I've used in my videos.
Oh, cool.
I'm
the guy who
producer and don't sleep, and I just make videos on YouTube. We got a real big YouTube superstar in the group. Yeah, a little bit of everything, and all over the world. So at any time, you can enjoy the game.
Right, and so
cool.
When you guys, I'm stuck up on this, but when you guys are doing your live stream, you have just random people join your voice chat?
Yeah. So well, usually depending on the person, like we'll do private Skype calls and just us talking, but the leader of the platoon does like open hunts with the public,
right?
And he'll open up Discord servers and
where
you can
cool
talk offline, online, whatever, and sometimes
doesn't
he just sets
just
it up so
like
other
chaos,
people can do
though?
It. No, because like he'll have a limited one for just the stream, and then he'll have another Discord server for people who are in the chat but also want to hunt together because they don't just all want to watch; they also want to hunt.
Oh, interesting!
It's kind of interesting. So we don't hear all that, but we know that they're all talking and playing, and it's a good environment to find
you got some
hunters.
Some plans, JJ? Thinking about some stuff?
No, I've actually used Discord before for Dota and stuff like that, so I was just curious how they used it.
But I agree. Yeah, without voice chat, it sucks. I mean,
I was
going
to say, but this wouldn't be necessary if there were like lobbies and stuff like they used to have, right?
Uh-huh.
Like they used to have 10-person lobbies and stuff with Monster Hunter, and
right?
More or less, that was enough, right?
Yeah, okay. I agree. Voice chat is sorely lacking.
Right. Well, so getting into more than the meat of the game, you want to like set the table, so to speak, about Generations, kind of a greatest hits sort of game.
Yeah,
but what are the big takeaways, like both for people who haven't played a Monster Hunter before, maybe people have played one somewhere along the lines, like why should they care? Should they care about this one? Why should they care?
Yeah, I think people should care. I mean, the whole concept is they've actually referred to this in the Japanese interviews as the Street Fighter Alpha of Street Fighter. They say it's a spin-off series.
Oh, I could totally see that. Yeah.
It's meant to be a spin-off where they can have a little bit more freedom, go a little crazy.
It's a little flashier.
Much more flashier, a little bit more action-oriented, and it has its own little flavor and personality, and it's meant to be the celebration of 10 years of Monster Hunter. So they've literally
is it that
taken
different because like looking at it just from screenshots and stuff like that, it doesn't seem
surface level. It's
like
not
an alpha
different.
It plays a lot different.
It plays a lot
different. Plays a lot differently.
It's much more of an action game than it's ever used to be. So I think that the West is going to love it. I think they are loving it.
It's kind of like halfway in between a Monster Hunter and a God Eater. Where, like, you get the good gameplay of a Monster Hunter, but you get a little bit of the flashiness that you get from, like, Monster Hunter copies that are made in Japan.
I mean, you played, obviously, for Ultimate. So, like, you know, adding the verticality, all of a sudden the game became less about you falling into the cookie-cutter way to play a weapon. You know, there was unexpected stuff because you could jump off stuff, and it felt unscripted, right?
Ride monsters.
Well, now it's just popped up to, like, the next level. So, like, finding your own way to play and no hunt is ever feels the same as the other one. Like, it's totally true. It's great.
And that's mostly because of the, is it like styles?
No, so they added in styles. So there's four different ways to play a weapon. And they also added in like super attacks, like super arts. They're calling them hunter arts. So you have up to three different ones that you can have and a bunch of other ones. So it's like special attacks that you can activate at any time to, you know, offset the balance of stuff.
Okay.
It's a little deep, so I won't go too into it, but I'll just say like I'd say as a game, if you're new to the series, for Ultimate, I thought was great because it had a story. I think it walked you into the series really good.
Right.
And I think that still remains the king in that experience.
Great localization.
It is.
You didn't mention that.
Very good.
You didn't mention that, but
I was about to.
No, you didn't mention that. go ahead.
No, but Cross is more like a celebration. So it's, I think of it more like a tool. Like, if you're just looking for good
gameplay. Is it a celebration or is it a tool, Adam?
It's both.
Okay. Wow.
It's just good
gameplay. It's a celebration of tools.
Really good gameplay.
Yeah.
It's just fun as hell to play.
Well, does it walk you into it as well?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
So it assumes you know a little bit more.
It is geared towards people who have played the series before.
Okay.
So it's not as kind to beginners as for Ultimate was.
Not that any Monster Hunter is that... I mean, part of the fun, right, not maybe to like
it's a going Dark down the rabbit
Souls
hole,
level,
right?
But part of the fun is watching your videos, reading Roy's guide, talking to your friends, learning slowly, like, what the hell, I'm lost, and there's so much to learn.
Right.
And it's kind of digesting it in all those
Well, the internet
ways,
has
right?
sort of caught up to that, right? Because when we were first, I mean, we were preaching Monster Hunter long before it got popular, and, like, back then, you needed a tutor or whatever, but now a lot of people can just go to YouTube and look at stuff like Adam's.
That's one of those things where it's like, you know, I think it was nice that they put that good tutorial in the last Monster Hunter, but these days, really, people just go to the internet and, like, you, Adam, you basically made the instruction manual for this game, so it's like, why even put it in the game? You've already got it on
they
YouTube.
They did put it in the game. It's just, like, optional now. So it's like when you
that's
go to
good.
Undertale quests, you don't have to learn how to make a mega potion.
Oh, well, that's even better.
But
I mean, I like that they trim all the fat out, too, and you could just, for people who did play it, it's really nice, because you could just start the game, and there is no story. I mean, there's minimal story.
Just jump in and have fun.
And then you just start playing. You get right into it. It's like you kind of cut all that extra fat out and just jump right in.
Well, you put it this way. Like, I played Monster Hunter Cross, like, hundreds of hours. I think I played it for a total
Which
of...
Which is the Japanese version.
Yeah, Japanese version for, like, 600 hours. Or more.
Jesus.
And that's nothing compared to the other games that I played. And that just shows that they didn't add any fluff in the end game. All of it was just really good quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt really good about that 600 hours. But it's like, I actually thought, I don't think I'm going to redo all this for Cross or Generations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really I actually thought, you know what? I'm just going to make some tutorials, do some videos. I'm not going to do this all over again because there's so much content in the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's double the content for Ultimate, even though it's not.
Wow.
Like, an expansion pack game at all.
Right.
But here I am, 80 hours later in a week and a half, I'm doing it all over again. And
yeah, well, part
I'm
of that is the community, right? I mean, now you are you get to play with all the people who are watching your videos before. It was just like the hardcore people who got the import version and stuff.
Yeah.
But now you get to play with everyone, like the masses. That was why it was fun for me, too. Like, we would play the hell out of the Japanese one, but then play like the English one for a few weeks after it came out, just because it's fun to
everybody's playing.
Yeah, like when you get Monster Hunter, one of the key features of the game is the community that comes with it. That's it's a killer feature of the game if you
it's
want to
a really really good community too like
it is,
I don't feel like there's very it's like well moderated. There's not a lot of trolls. It's just like people who genuinely like, try to help each other out.
I mean, it probably stems from the fact that it's cooperative gameplay at its core, but I think there's something a little bit more than that. I don't know, it's just special, you know?
I think a lot of Monster Hunter fans kind of came up with the series and know that it's not really accessible for a lot of people. So you know, and I started way back when it was on PSP and PS2, and, you know, whenever someone was like, hey, I want to try Monster Hunter, we would always do, like, whatever we could to get them to like the game.
I'm so excited that they want to get people. Yeah, I think they still feel like, and it's actually not
paying it forward, basically.
That small of a group anymore.
Yeah, it's
They actually sell fairly well.
I think
in the
Wii
West,
sold something like, I want to say it only in a few hundred thousand, which is a crime because the game is great. But like for Ultimate, went over 2 million in the West. It's just a huge growth.
Three
broke Ultimate
a million.
Got to I think a million
it's
or more.
1 million.
And then
yeah.
Four Ultimate. Yeah, went
2.5 million or something.
And I'm sure Generations
great
did really well too.
So
yeah,
right, of course.
But the game is great.
So what was your most popular video so far on Generations?
Honestly, it's the weapon tutorials. Still, that stays as my flagship. So I've completed all but two. Which is just the bow guns. I feel bad about that.
But those are the ones they need
some of the hardest
videos the most.
But they've added so much content that I just haven't had the time to go and really do them. But I will.
It's been a week, dude. Jesus, what are you doing?
I literally get like at least 20, 30 questions about that a day. Like, hey, what's up with the bow gun tutorials, man?
Well,
but that's great. People are interested.
What's the most popular weapon?
I don't know the most popular, but the most views.
Most views.
Most views so far has been the longsword tutorial.
Really?
Interesting.
Because the longsword kind of fell out of grace in For Ultimate, right?
Totally figures.
It's awesome in Generations.
Everybody wants to use damn katana.
I thought it was
They just want to trip the Lancers. That's all they want.
Everyone wants to
Tell
be
me about it.
I thought it would all be like Insect Glaive and...
That's what it was in For Ultimate. Unfortunately, I did those last, so the views haven't caught up. But I think the Insect Glaive and the Charge Blade, of course, is going to be the most popular.
What's your answer to what I asked Roy earlier? Like your most sweetest tip?
Best pro tip.
Sweetest tip.
Yes, you're like. okay, hey, you might be playing Monster Hunter, but you probably okay. still don't even know this. It's very useful to know.
This isn't a tip, but if I'm allowed to say it, I'd say the thing I'm most proud about in the advice I give is I constantly get questions. I also run a Tumblr, and I get a lot of questions for armor. Like, hey, what should I do for going through the story? Hey, I just got into high rank. What should I make? And I refuse to answer them. I do introduce a few famous sets, like, look but I don't. I say,
to yourself,
just have fun, man. Like, really? Like, if you're just going through to play the game, find
what
you like.
That's a lame answer, though. I'm sorry.
It's not, though.
Like, no,
it's
but
not.
That's the same thing as saying, like, you're giving all those weapon tutorials. Like, why don't you just tell them, hey, just, like,
play
grab
around
a weapon.
Well, because with armor, it's like, whatever you want to get something that fits your playstyle. You know what I mean?
So yeah. Give them a few. Be like, if this is your playstyle, this is the best
armor.
Armor.
I do give a few things, but I don't want to be, like, people thinking, like, there's a right way or wrong way to do armor.
Yeah.
There's not.
Well, there's
people that run like through high rank.
There's no silver bullet to like having the best armor in this game.
Right. Well, that's because there's so many skills, right? I mean, that kind of.
But there's better and worse, right? I mean, there's no one ultimate set of armor, but there's a group of armors.
Well, there's some that I do introduce. Yeah,
right.
But I try to do it as like if you're just starting the game,
right?
Or if it's already end game. But people who are just trying to go and play the game through the story and enjoy it, it's like. Just go with it. Like, experiment, have fun.
There are a lot of people that like to just be like, okay, what's the first armor set I can invest in?
Yeah, that's I generally do introduce, and that's been a very big video for me this time.
There is
I think
usually,
that's fine. Like,
What about any differences, significant differences between the localized version and the Japanese original that you noticed or cared about?
Have they changed any features or anything? Or?
I mean, obviously the greatest, and we were talking a little bit about this earlier, but most people don't play Hunting Horn, and they really should. It's the greatest weapon you're not playing. But like when you play a song in the Japanese version, it's always been obscure about what's going on. It just says attack up small, attack up large.
Yeah.
Now it's in English, they've actually spelled it out. Like everyone's attack up 15%. Like that's huge. Everyone's attack up 20%. Boom.
Nice.
Like that's awesome. That's a good change that they made. So
show
I like
people that, hey, this is what's actually happening.
They're running with, I think, what was started in For Ultimate, which was this idea of, beyond localization, what can you do to make the game more accessible and easier to understand? So stuff like that I like.
Do you see more horners around? That's what we call people.
Horner?
Yeah.
Oh, you know there's a word for that. It's a karipiste in Japanese. And a lot of people use that. It's a
karipiste?
Karipiste. Because when you do a horn, it goes kari is like the name of like just like the sound of a whistle. And a piece
like
is like a pianist. It's a karipiste.
Right. This podcast is in English, though. most of our listeners.
Localize that right
this
now.
This is a podcast for Japan,
Mark, and Japanese games.
They're called horners.
Japan, Japanese games.
Horn balls. I like horn balls.
That's cool. I definitely.
But right now, I'm focused on trying to get people into the cats. There are prowlers. So like you always had the cats, the palicos.
Yes.
Prowlers is a good name.
Prowlers is a great name.
I
like it a lot.
Give Capcom props for that.
They're basically palicos that now actually hunt alongside you.
Yeah.
Or you can hunt ants.
You can hunt ants.
They are
right.
The 15th weapon of Monster Hunter.
Yeah,
being
that
a
is
nice
true.
Catchphrase. There.
Yeah, they are good.
But yeah, I saw that name today too. I was like,
it's a good name.
Good job.
No, they're really good. In Japan, they pushed it a little too hard with the marketing. Like, hey, if you're new to the series or if you're afraid of the monsters, you just want to stand back and help and support, play as a cat. So everyone got this idea.
In Japan, it was like, if you're a girl, you might want to play as a cat. But that's Japan.
Every advertisement was like, hey, I'm a girl that's playing Monster Hunter for the first time.
I know.
We get to be the cat.
It's so weird. They're real powerhouses. They're accessible, but if you're they're pro league. They're good.
Yeah. They are.
They're really great for, you know, scounging for items and stuff like that.
I was going to say, what's the reason to play a prowler as opposed
to the list of scenes. Okay, so just from convenience standpoint, like if you enter a hot area, you don't need cold drinks. Don't need hot drinks.
Wow.
You don't need pickaxes to mine apart. You don't need bug nets.
Yeah.
You don't even need trank bombs to trap a monster. You've got three of them. You have no pouch. You can collect as much as you want. You have no stamina. You can run infinitely.
As much as you want. What?
Yes.
Yeah. Wait. What are the drawbacks?
Yeah. This sounds like
you can't heal yourself. You can't consume potions.
Oh, Jesus.
And your evasion is actually. You can hop around if you're really good, but your evasion is not good.
So if you're a prowler, can you still have two other palicos traveling around with you?
Yeah, yeah.
Can they heal you like they normally would?
You can, but it's AI, so it's kind of
right.
Interesting.
But there's some skills to get around that. But you would almost think that's like, well, what's the drawback, right? It's like. The idea is that they don't hit for as much, obviously, as a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
But if you level them up, because it's the first time they've added like a level up system.
Right.
If you level them up and you get them good armor. Oh, the other good thing is like you hunt a monster once, boom, you've got the full set.
That's true.
Whoa. What?
Yeah, I'm not joking. Like when you go in, let's say you go up against a Rathalos, to make the
for the prowler.
To make the prowler armor. The headpiece,
which is only three pieces.
Only
right?
takes like or three or four pieces. Yeah. End game, it's like four or five, but it's like one hunt and you have the entire set and the weapon, maybe.
Wow.
And that's awesome. And you don't use Zenny for anything because you have. You don't use items. Yeah, you don't use potions.
So it sounds like basically if you want to gather, you're going gathering quests.
Oh, just always go as a cat. Don't totally. Just don't go as a hunter because you have unlimited stamina. So you just keep running. You don't have to worry about any of that.
So do you have one
and you can,
prowler character?
You can die as much as you want almost.
You can set any of your palette ghosts to be a prowler.
You don't have just nine lives?
Well, you do have nine lives. You have you die once. Then it does an animation where you eat an acorn and you restore like half your health.
Yeah.
If you do that three times and you die in an official cart. And nine lives. But if you are running out of your acorns, you go back to the bed at base camp and sleep.
I see.
It restores all of them.
Okay.
So it's really a race against the timer if you're patient.
Mm-hmm. I should mention, every single person sitting at this table is a Palico in Monster Hunter Generations.
Yes, really? That's right.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I see you guys all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I have two Riccardis in my team right now. Although I might not use them anymore now.
Unfortunately,
that I got
all the Evangos I've seen are trash.
Yeah, I keep seeing Roy's and I'm like, I'm not going to recruit you.
It's like, give me a
I have everyone except JJ. I have a Roy, I have a Mark, I have an Evanko, I have two Mies.
I think I'm the only one that has his first name and last name in the game.
Yeah, I wonder if that was intentional.
And I have your son.
Yeah,
I scouted your son. Your son is a collector cat for me.
Nice.
It's very nice.
I put you and his son in the game.
That's cool. Well, anything else? Any last bits of
If I could take the opportunity, I would say so. I would say like people who are into the series, like big fans. Mm-hmm. They're realizing that the West usually doesn't get, not all the case, but in the recent years, they haven't gotten the original game, only the expansion pack version, right? Like, the best way I've heard to explain it is Monster Hunter 4 and 4 Ultimate, like, the Ultimate or the G rank is the expansion pack. Mm-hmm. And you're essentially getting the game, all your data carries over, and then you get the expansion pack, which is a harder part of the game. That's great. Well, this one, for the first time, they're recognizing that the West has appetite for this game.
Right.
So instead of waiting, I don't know how many, I don't even know if they're making it. They might not be, who knows. But, like, instead of waiting several years between games, they've brought it over to the West. So there's no G rank in this game.
I'm curious, because I feel like we would have heard about a G.
Well, it could be that, this is like a special edition, like you said, sort of a spinoff, and they weren't thinking along the usual regular game.
Yeah,
right.
Maybe
just
will,
just
maybe
to explain, in Japan, it's like, three, then this a year later, 3G comes out. Then they have 4, and then 4G comes out. And then in the past, the Capcom US has just taken the G version, which is the
ultimate
regular one plus a little bit extra, and then just made it as Western version that came out. But this time, this could be kind of construed as kind of that.
Yeah,
kind
they're
of
like,
bonus
oh, the no
version.
G rank. I'm not buying half a game. It's not a full game. Who are they joking about?
Right.
Like, this game has more monsters than any other Monster Hunter before it. It has more quests than any Monster Hunter before it. It has more armor than anyone. Every way, this thing is loaded. So I would not let that bother you. And there's good challenge late games. So.
Right. But every Monster Hunter up until now has had, like, a lot of the same... I mean, you could argue the same content, like, a lot of the same monsters and stuff. But each new game, like, 3 to 4 and whatever, was a new game.
Yeah.
And then the G version was just a plus. But this game is a little bit different in that respect well, where
it's
much
a collection
more
of everything, right?
A collection of everything up until now.
Well, you mean you also think of like in ways like armor. There's usually been like 40 armor sets or something. There's like something like I think 3,000 or something like pieces of armor you can rank.
I'm
in this
gonna
game.
Say that there've been a lot more than 40.
Full set. But, I mean, it's like I think it's almost like double what it was in 4 Ultimate. Okay.
And it's funny because you can the armor sets that come from like the early Monster Hunters, like Monster Hunter 1 and 2, it's like they look so ugly next to the new armors for the new monsters in this game, or even like from Tri or 4.
Yeah. And another thing they did that I like though is usually in Monster Hunter games, if you have like the same monster come back, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The armor is identical. The weapons are identical.
I hate that.
Yeah, they didn't do that in this game. They actually went and they redesigned a lot of them.
A lot of them, but
like,
not
the skills are different.
A lot of them.
I was gonna say I'd be surprised.
A good
if they
enough
did that
of them,
to all of them, because that would be nuts. I mean, there's so much. Even just having it all in the same one game.
But
is kind
I would
of
just
impressive.
Say the hunting styles and the hunter arts alone make it feel like a brand new game. Mm. I think
and
it's
yet,
great.
And yet, even though it's Generations, and it doesn't have like everything. Like I would have expected there to be like literally every single monster that's ever been there, but they've taken some, like Kurupeko, I guess, is not in this one, and Jaggy's not in this one.
Baryoth is not in there.
A lot of Tri monsters.
Diablos is gone.
Moga's not in there.
Diablos
is gone?
Yeah.
They gotta give him a rest sometimes.
That's true, yeah.
I almost wonder if it's a cart size issue.
Special.
I was gonna say, that might just be evidence that maybe there really is gonna be an ultimate version, because they need to save something.
If they do make a G version, I hope this time they just sell it as DLC instead of another.
That would
card.
Be awesome, wouldn't it?
But that won't happen
really
here.
Good idea.
I doubt it. In Japan, here. I don't think that would work.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool.
Yeah, if you're not playing, go out and play it. It's
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right go wrong.
And people can, of course, find your YouTube, Gaijin Hunter.
Yes.
Find you there.
Gaijin
find
Hunter
you
on
Twitter, etc. We'll give you your Twitter name at the end of the podcast. But you've been playing anything else in your time of playing?
Yeah, actually. It's not Monster Hunter related, but I just bought a gaming PC for the first time in my life.
That's nice. Right. You put it together yourself,
yes,
right?
Yes, assembled. I don't think of like building. It's more like assembling it, right? Like,
right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you didn't like forge the silicone
I didn't make like
yourself.
Custom loops or cooling and stuff right. like that. But
how was that experience?
It's unbelievable.
Your first
it's great.
Time doing it?
Yeah, it's my first time doing it.
And how did you go about it?
I researched like a mad dog.
Okay.
I spent probably a good 50 to 60 hours online just researching.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, it must have been hard because you didn't have like websites like PC Part Picker where it tells you if it's compatible or not.
Yeah.
And you don't ever have to worry about that.
Right.
I imagine back when, like, you could have bought a part that just wasn't compatible or the watts were
there
wrong.
There are good sites nowadays where you can just, like,
nuts.
Say, pick... Click like gaming PC and it'll tell you what parts
sort of simulate. Yeah.
Simulate anything you want.
So
you don't need that type of battery. This battery is just fine. You're like, wow, okay. Wow.
Well, he was one of the first people in the world to get the new video card.
There was only 90 GTX 1080s in Japan. 90 of them. That was it. In all of Akihabara and all of Tokyo. Yeah. I lined up. No, I was the console idiot who thought that people would be doing that. Right.
Yeah.
I forgot that PC gaming in Japan is still very niche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I left work half day early. I got out. I was lined up at 5 o'clock. I was the second one in line. And they're like
5 p.m. the day before.
No, the day
on sale in the morning.
It was going on sale on midnight.
Oh wow. Okay.
I thought I was gonna be late. I was like, oh my god. So I ran there. I was sweating. And I get there and there's like no one. And they're like, you're gonna line up. Okay. Well, we're not especially doing a line. I think that guy might be. I don't know. And so I thought that the guy's like, yeah, I'm lined up. I'm like, okay, I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
And I lined up, and after 30 people, they're like, okay, we're done. We got too many people. I'm like, wow, is it that limited? And they only literally had like 90 units in all of Akihabara. But I mean, it's a $1,000 GPU
in
Japan.
Yeah.
So a lot of people shelling out $1,000 just for graphics processing.
How happy are you with that bad boy?
It's like magic.
Really?
You literally just put it in, all of a sudden everything just looks really good.
Would you play
Overwatch in 165 frames per second?
Are you playing it in the did they release the like the 120 degree field view mode yet? Do you have a monitor that can support that?
I spent a good $1,000 on my monitor, but I got the Asus ROG Swift monitor, and what it does is it can overboost to 165 hertz, but it's 148 frame per second monitor.
Yeah.
So it could do like silky smooth. Like once you see it, you're just like, what is that? It's like butter. I've got to have it. And then
basically it means you can actually see what 160 frames per second looks like.
You actually downloaded the Chinese Monster Hunter.
I did.
One that I'm very down on all the time, but it looks really good.
No,
though,
it's
right?
good. It was fun.
But it's pretty, right?
It's very pretty.
Right.
Like, if they took that...
Relatively
and, if they took that and they put the gameplay of Monster Hunter, like, Generations, like, you can call that Monster Hunter 5, be done, call it a day, ship 5 million. I think that's that good.
So how much did you spend, roughly, on your PC?
The PC, like, what I include,
monitor
the monitor
included,
and everything? Mm-hmm. Probably $4,700.
Wow.
Shit.
God damn.
Now, you also have to remember, if you haven't built a PC in Japan, maybe you guys have.
I have.
I think it's like Europe, where the parts, if you go online, you look at the U.S. prices.
Oh, they're way cheaper.
It's 40% more expensive in Japan. Everything.
Yeah.
The battery unit, for example, cost me $250 here. It would cost me $120 in the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah, like double the cost.
Yeah, the prices here are crazy. But he's also building from zero, so...
Zero, yeah.
Like, a lot of people, like, for me, I really only needed, like, a motherboard and a CPU and a GPU, and it was enough.
But this is crazy. It's, like, so quiet compared to the PS4.
Oh, really?
It was a PS4. I can't even play without headphones.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like a Dyson vacuum.
Whenever we play Overwatch, it's true. And I own a Dyson vacuum. And when Haruki is playing Overwatch, it's literally, like, the same volume.
But, this scene is nice and quiet, even though everyone was screaming at me, no, don't get that graphics card. Wait for the aftermarket ones.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's the big advice.
No, it was great. It's quiet. I could play everything in more frames per second than I can ever imagine. And so, I've been trying out all these different games on Steam now. And it's
What have been some of your favorites?
I'm still only starting, but I tried out the most recent Tomb Raider. I've never really played a Tomb Raider game in my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looks so good. It's unbelievable.
I heard so many good things about that game. Yeah,
and
really want to play
that. It's so far, it's really good. like the Chinese Monster Hunter Online. It's actually been quite fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit done with it now, but it's been a good experience, I think.
Is it pretty grindy? Did you ever play Monster Hunter?
Let's not get back to
they've changed it. They've improved it a lot. It's still grindy, but they've improved it. It's a much better game, but it's like playing the old Monster Hunter, and it's just very pretty.
Mm. Okay.
So it's free. You can't complain.
So right. would you classify yourself now as a PC gamer?
PC or? Master Race?
Yes.
I would almost think so, only in the idea that the things like that I'm appreciating so far. Like, I don't know if I can go back. I could put on the PS4, and I was checking out, like, Dark Souls 3. I'm like, what is that?
Uh-huh.
It was like I'm watching a 480p video on YouTube or something. I'm like, it barely moves. It stutters. And, of course, after, like, 10 minutes, your eyes get used to it, and it looks smooth again.
Right.
But,
right.
like, that initial, like, you feel like you stabbed in the back. Like,
yourself.
What is this?
Do you have your setup connected to your TV at all, or do you just use the
I have my
PC.
Own little office next to my bed, so to say.
Right. So you're on a pretty small, relatively small
Well, my monitor.
Monitor
is 29 inches.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's small to me.
Well, for a
PC monitor, though.
Oh, 32
maybe.
Is it ultra-wide, or is it just wide?
No, it's 1440p monitor.
So it's 16:9, then?
16:9, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Or 16:10, something like that.
Are you interested? Are you into that? Like, what's the expanded ratio?
It's like something 21 or something like that. Yeah, I'm interested in it. Mm. If
kind of am too, but it's expensive as hell. Right?
Yeah, that's when Haruki graduates from college.
Right,
sort of
right.
And Witcher 3 just made my jaw drop. Like,
yeah,
you don't even get the idea of something loading. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. Like, you just walk into a world and everything's just there.
Like, what is this loading that you speak of? Did you play that on consoles before?
I did play a little bit. Okay. I don't get far in open world games, but
right,
I really wanted to try it out. Also to just try to justify my money.
Yeah,
I wanted to push it a little bit.
Gotcha.
And it worked. It's nice.
I thought I was ready to buy like a decked out PC for VR. I mean, I think I will eventually because VR. I'm super, super into VR. But like,
yeah, you don't have any VR.
I know, it's a crime, right? I have a 1080, but I'm not using Vive. I know.
You don't. You won't need a decked out. Like by the time you know the 1060 and the 1070, the
1060
kind of,
just launched.
Yeah, those cards are relatively
1070
cheap.
1070 can handle it. It's and like $300-$400.
Yeah, and you can do VR just fine with one of those. So.
But like lately, I'm so like you know to me like to spend something like this has to be like a present to yourself or whatever.
Yeah,
and like,
it was. Also
I'm
yourself.
In the middle of like getting a root canal. Like it's been like a 3 or 4 step process going to the dentist like a couple times because it's.
Oh,
it's
a root canal.
Root canal completion present.
And,
there you go.
When I'm in the chair and like I'm all needled up and everything and I'm thinking like my present to myself, and it's like I want to get a CRT monitor. I want to get like a small CRT TV. For like retro games,
sure.
Like a month ago, it was a decked out PC, but I've somehow converted now, and I'm thinking of like old
why
games.
Why a small one?
Well, yeah. Because I found out from like our friend
pounds.
Scott, who does a lot of work for us. He just got into it. He's bought a whole bunch of shit. He bought like a Twin Famicom and all these games and a TV and everything. And like he basically, there are like really good small, like pro level small CRTs in Japan, like 13 inch that do S video, for example,
right.
Or like
well, there's that Sony, the like the Holy Grail. It's like that Sony. Like studio
the long one like,
level or... yeah it's meant to go into a rack
yeah
it's
yeah.
like supposed to be the ultimate
and
best.
You could just look up Yahoo auctions in Japan and people are just selling them they're not
right.
like super expensive
I feel like
either.
You could go to like a Hard Off or somewhere just like go Hard Off hunting
right
yeah, people who have
that's
not heard this term in this
yeah,
case are probably like what does he say you can go get a Hard Off
just go get your Hard Off and I think you can probably find a good CRT monitor or like
yeah.
someone who's throwing it away or something like that
even Akihabara everyone thinks it's like this high tech town it's actually not like all the
yeah.
side streets have all that old school type of like cables and stuff.
The only thing is that they weigh like 900 pounds.
Yeah. They do. Yeah.
I think my ultimate thing would be to get one of those and then get a decked out PC and then basically be able to stream old school games, not from an emulator, but from like the real deal, you
yeah,
know,
totally.
Like off of CRT. Huh. So maybe that's my like fantasy for like the next year or something.
Jeremy
we'll
Parrish, friend of the show, has been, I don't know if you've followed lately, but like has been investigating all those kind of setups where it's like lossless, perfect NES.
Oh really?
To yeah. his TV and also to a capture device at the same
nice.
Time, and also doing stuff that like so that light gun games can work and Rob can work and these games that rely on the screen flashing and that kind
mm-hmm,
of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he has gone down that rabbit
hole.
Oh,
I need to
so,
talk to him.
Yeah, you
okay.
definitely should. That would be cool though. I want to see one of those. I know somebody who has one of those like Sony Ultimate ones. It might be friend of the show, Colin Williamson, who has one. But...
Colin, maybe, or you know, our Graham, I think, was into that stuff too, right? Wasn't he? Or
yeah. It wasn't Graham. It was oh shit, he's gonna kill me that I'm forgetting.
Oh yeah, Chris.
Chris. Yeah. Superman. Chris,
that's right.
Superman.
Anyway,
he had one of those.
Okay.
So, speaking of which, do we have that in the news? By the way, the NES Classic.
Yes. Oh, okay. We have the Wisdom Tree in there. All
right.
So, what else have other people been playing?
While I'm on my retro kick, I've been playing Arcade Archives Gradius 2.
Oh, nice.
PS4.
You got that.
I saw you tweeting about that.
Yeah. Hamster Corp.
Somehow
port, right?
I like, you know, because friend of the show, Shane Bettenhausen, is always, he's like, I think he's like responsible for these or something, but he's always tweeting about the Arcade Archives.
Yes, his account. Yeah.
I'm always ignoring them, but like, I actually went back and went on the store and just, you know, typed in the search Arcade Archives and got the whole list.
Yeah.
There's some really great games on PS4.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And they're all $8. Like, I would buy.
Are you saying that as it's cheap or is that expensive?
To me, that's fine. So $8 right. for like a perfect arcade port of like games that I
are
really
they
like are well, as far as I could tell, they seem like it. Yeah, and they have good options.
How do they look on your HDTV? Because
Gradius looks awesome and it sounds great. I mean, I love that Gradius 2 was a game that didn't really ever come out officially in English in America ever actually until now. And apparently there was a European version called Vulcan Venture or
that's
something
right.
like that.
Yeah, it had a weird name.
But yeah, just like playing it and hearing the music, because I imported it for Saturn and back in the day. I played it a bunch back in the day, but I hadn't played it in like 15 years, and playing it on PS4, it just feels so good. Like, I really miss those old school arcade experiences from like Konami. I feel like I'm talking about a dead relative or something. Like, but like Konami was so godly
yeah,
back then.
You pretty much are.
Yeah, you basically are.
Yeah, that's kind of like that's my like, you know, my dream is to have like a good arcade setup with like games that I can just, you know, plug and play in there and stuff like that.
Well, you know, like Virtual Console like had an arcade Virtual Console. But there was like good stuff. Nintendo would get back on that because like that is like. That perfect emulation of like, I'm okay with paying under $10, but like paying like a little bit for like those games. You
right.
know, like...
My first project at 8.4 was the instruction manuals for those.
That's right.
Yes.
We did the instruction manuals for like 50 like Namco arcade games
right.
or something.
We had these like big printouts of the instruction manuals and I was just like reading through them.
Of course. That was fun. A lot of terms that had never been localized before and stuff because many of these games had never come
then
to
Then the old manuals were so much better than the manuals of today.
Yeah, I miss that stuff.
It's like hand-drawn graphics of all the items and stuff like that.
But I think I'm going to get into it and buy some more of these. Like, I saw some of my favorite old... Like, they were favorites on the NES, but, like, I want to play the arcade Solomon's Key. And, like, they have, like, all the Tecmo games, like Mighty Bomb Jack.
No, there's a lot. I think it's one every 2 weeks or one a month or something. They come out on, like, a pretty regular schedule.
They have Double Dragon. Like, they have, like, good stuff on there.
They do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hamster Corp, man.
Definitely worth checking that out.
Follow them on Twitter. Do you follow them on Twitter?
I don't
find out
know.
Every
I guess
time
I should.
A new, yeah.
Oh,
Jeff,
really?
Friend of the show, Jeff Gerstmann, is like always talks about them. Always nice. Talks about them.
It's
he
a great
like,
name for a company.
Those. I know, right?
Hamster. I noticed that. Because of this, I noticed that PSN got updated. Probably, it must have been in the last 2 months because I haven't really been on since E3. But like now. The store, when you go to their game page, it just starts loading the video in the background.
Ah, yeah,
which is cool. So you get to like watch the trailer behind the store page or whatever. And
that's
so I was just checking out the trailers for all the arcade games and getting really excited.
Well, now I'm going to look at... I want to try some of those.
Jump into Hamster.
Yeah.
Jump into that Hamster.
No relation to the 8.4 Classic Hamster's Bunch, by
no.
the way.
No, that's right. Hamster
Number
Party.
One PSP game of all time.
Yes.
The best, best cover art ever.
That has nothing to do with the game.
We were not, we didn't decide on that.
What else has everybody else been playing?
I played Fury. Have you guys played that?
I heard that's out.
It's the,
I downloaded it. I added it to my library.
It's one of the PS Plus games for this month.
Uh-huh. What is it?
It is a boss rush
game
where you are this guy who gets broken out of, he's like in this intergalactic jail. And someone breaks you out, and you basically have to go down these levels. It's like this multi-levels
dungeon,
outer space jail. Sorry, I don't know why that word that wasn't coming out. But and you basically fight bosses on every level, and you kind of make your way out.
What type of game is it?
It's hard to explain. You have a sword and you can shoot bullets, but it's like one-on-one. You're fighting against this boss.
3D game, 2D.
It's 3D, but it's overhead. It's kind of isometric.
Oh, okay. With that, what was that? Like, what Mad Mash TV or whatever it was Smash called, TV? Like Smash TV. Yeah, I don't know, like at least a camera.
I mean, it kind of feels a little bit like
I watched
like
a video
platinum
for this. Yeah, I know.
Game.
What you're talking
it's
about.
Very, okay. It's very stylish. Like the graphics are really good. It surprisingly had like a full Japanese localization with voice acting and stuff like which I find is pretty rare these days. But it did come out, I think, on the Japanese store and the American store.
Who published or developed it?
I don't remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't recognize the name when I.
But it's spelled F U R I. It's pretty cool. The reviews are a little. The reviews are kind of all over the place, and right. I think the reason is because that it is very. It's very stylish, very cool. The core gameplay is fun, but it kind of it's a little too punishing. When you die, it basically starts you at the back of this, the beginning of this really long. The boss fights are really long, so it can get a little tedious.
I'm only laughing because I interrupted someone's streamer who's part of our team. Yeah. He was playing that game apparently, and like I Skype messaged him and went whoop. And it totally blew his concentration. Like he almost died because of it.
And yeah, there are bullet hell elements to it and stuff like that. It's free on PS Plus. Download it.
People seem to be really liking it though.
Yeah, it's one of those games. I think you'll either really really like it or you
whatever.
Will just
Won't.
Be whatever no. about it.
looks cool.
No, I don't think anybody would outright hate it, but yeah.
What else?
Not Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Am I the only person here playing Pokemon Go?
Are you serious?
Well, we played it for about 35 seconds.
Yeah, I've never played it.
They turned the servers on for like 20 minutes, like one day.
Okay. Did you catch anything?
And all of a sudden, like we were like, let's go to lunch together, which we never ever do. We were like, we're going to go out and pal up. And then as soon as we got outside,
yeah,
it was
there's
like
a
it turned off.
There's a Pokestop.
Stuck, and now I'm stuck
right,
with you people who I hate.
There's a Pokestop right outside the office.
Oh, there was?
Yeah. Senta Ani is a Pokestop.
Along.
Oh, that's going to be so fucking annoying.
You don't need to go inside. You can just like you could reach it from in here.
I'm saying because all the other people they're going to be fucking.
It may actually be out by the time people hear this. They've been this was supposed to come out yesterday, and then it got pushed back. And
I don't believe
it's
it
very
anymore,
close.
Man.
It's not out right now,
and it's going to be interesting in Japan because it's going to be the first time anywhere in the world that they teamed up with the sponsor McDonald's. Yeah. Every McDonald's in Japan is like 3,000 of them.
Right,
it's a Pokemon gym.
Right,
that's going to be interesting.
Wait, it's not a gym, though, right?
Not a Pokestop, but a gym.
A gym.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was.
I don't think it's every McDonald's isn't a Poke Gym, but
most
like 2,000
gym, of them.
Poke Gyms are McDonald's. It's 3,000, I think.
3,000.
Yeah.
It should be interesting. I mean, right. I know I'm sick of it too, in a sense. Like it's funny, like that you can get sick of something before it even comes out in your country.
I am super fucking sick of here. I'm sorry. Like
it's
going
to be fun. Dude.
I'm sick even of people talking about being sick on Twitter.
To Polygon or any of the websites that we get our news from, it was literally like I had to dodge Pokemon
it's
stories.
Any angle on it, it's like being used for like here's what's like amazing. Mm. Here's what's one of those things that becomes so ubiquitous you can use it for.
It's insane.
Anything,
I'm really enjoying just to spread a little fun right now. I'm really enjoying all the like analysts or like people who just became analysts in like the last 2 weeks who are like so shocked that Nintendo stock has blown up and all this shit has happened.
Oh.
It's like,
oh my god.
What did you think was going to happen? Like,
no kidding.
And then they're all like, and Nintendo, was this Nintendo's ad? It's like, dude, Nintendo knew this was going to happen. So did Niantic. So did everyone else. This is not a surprise.
I think it's not a surprise in that it's like super mega successful. I think the degree, I think it's got to be at least like twice as...
It's a phenomenon. Like
it's become beyond what I think
definition
Niantic
of it.
And
yeah.
Nintendo, even in probably their like high estimation. Yeah.
But like people, I have to tell you, like, I almost cried because, like, you probably remember we talked about this the other day, Mark, but, like, 9 months ago, I, like, as soon as they announced, like, that Nintendo was doing all this mobile stuff, I was, like, talking to my girlfriend. I'm like, you know, we should buy Nintendo stock. Like, we should just get some stock and, like, because when they hit mobile, it's going to blow up, blah, blah, blah. She's like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Looked into it. It's a pain in the ass in Japan. You have to buy, like, 100 shares at a time.
So if it's $200,
like, you basically got to spend, like, $20,000 if you want to buy Nintendo stock. I was like, well, maybe it's not that important. Fucking god damn it, man. I would have made like $30,000 if I had bought it when I decided to.
Yeah.
And man, it hurts just every time. I'm just
it'll
like,
go back down.
No, well, yeah, but dude, when it was in,
well,
so,
you could be one of those guys who like sold his right Apple now. Stocks way back when, so it could be worse.
Well, when the Wii came out, it was like double what it is now. So like, yes, but the point is like it was kind of at a low, and it's probably not going to hit that low again for a very long time because Animal Crossing's coming out. Like other games are coming out.
It was definitely at a low of to where I was when we talked about it. I was thinking the same thing. I
really
was like,
upset that I
should buy some of that because just because it was at like a historic low, and X is going to come out, but yada yada. But
it hurts, man.
But yeah, but you don't know. Maybe you wouldn't have sold then. Maybe you wouldn't have doubled it in its value. You wouldn't have wanted to sell it then.
Well,
and you might have held on to it.
It's still going
to
go up. But now I'm like, oh, but like, I was talking to a friend of the show, Kyle, and he was like, well, you can still buy it now because it's going to go up. And I'm like, but now it's like, if I buy it now, I feel like I'm spending so much more than I would have spent before. So I'm in this like horrible rut.
I asked Kyle how many suits he can buy, and he's like,
I should have bought McDonald's stock. Because they were hitting all
stock
like they've been
today.
Yeah,
they
were crushing.
They were
in
the gutter.
Bad shape. So
anyway, it's a very interesting
enough about McDonald's stock, though.
Interesting phenomenon, though. Like Pokemon Go. Like, I mean, you can be sick of it or not, but it's very. I think it's great that it's reached so many people and so becomes such a mainstream thing.
And people in Japan are really excited. They're so excited that JJ came. Can you tell?
Yeah, there's a Nico Nico stream of a guy that has an iPhone and an Android phone, and they're both at the app stores for those, you know, devices, and he's like refreshing them every
while. He's got an hourglass that he flips every minute.
Wow.
And there's 70,000 people.
Yeah, there were like 70, it was 76,000 or something crazy.
It's
like
such
that.
A great
That's the
stream.
Best part.
But it's funny because, like, you know, Japan for some reason has been delayed, and
they said why.
Well, yeah, because
that's
of the server.
You know that's bullshit.
Whatever.
Well,
McDonald's.
They know how bad it's going to be.
You know,
part of it was the server where it concerns. I mean, people are still having trouble logging in America and stuff.
It's a legit concern.
But
no,
also...
No, I get. I'm
part of
about
it was
this whole little, like, oh, there was an email leaked the night before.
That's a bunch of crap.
People are looking at it, so now we're afraid it's going to break it. So we're going to do it another time where not as many people are going to be looking at it. That was bullcrap.
That's because you read TechCrunch or whatever. I mean, like, these people...
I don't even know what you're talking about.
There was a McDonald's email.
Don't explain.
Anyways, but what I was trying to say was that, like, you know, Japan is so, like, pumped up about it. They have it on TV all the time, but now elementary schools are
They're distributing flyers.
Flyers to parents about what to do when Pokemon Go comes out, how your kids should act. Make sure that they're hydrated. Always, the thing that you actually wrote the show notes on is
I got that off the printer.
It's like, make sure that you check the weather. Know where the public phones are. don't follow a guy who tells you that there's a rare
Pokemon.
Government,
like,
well, yeah, there's the government. There's
the
government one, and then there are local schools that are doing that too.
Here's the question, though: how long is it going to last?
That is a very, very good question.
Longer than Miitomo.
From what I know of the game, unless they start adding more kind of different stuff, it sounds like it might not last as long. Yeah,
I think it'll last until the NX comes out.
It'll
feed right into.
Well,
that,
I guess
sure.
We have to define last.
They're going to be adding stuff. They're going to be doing new stuff. I think they're definitely.
Yeah. They've got the funds.
Oh, big time aware of that as well, and so
there's definitely no like. I mean, there's no like. Definite right or wrong answer to the question, but the thing I'm really, you know, a lot of these analysts and stuff are talking about how like it's making more money per day than Clash of Clans and Puzzle and Dragons and all these multi-million dollar
WhatsApp.
Per day apps.
Yeah.
Those apps bring out new content every like 2-3 days. Like, there's only 150 Pokemon right now in Pokemon Go.
Right.
Yeah, but there's only like 700 something in total or whatever. Like,
yeah, but you're talking about a series that could re-release a game and do nothing to it except upgrade graphics, and all of a sudden millions of people are buying it.
I know, but my point though is that like the update like sort of. Path for Pokemon Go, unless they change and add features and different things like, I don't know, trading and fighting and whatever,
right.
is not going to be long lasting the way that these big apps are. So I personally feel like even if it's popular for a long time, it's not going to be making as much money
as those guys for a long time. It's unsustainable.
The curve
like,
is definitely like rocket up and down.
What's happening right now is just like a crazy phenom fad. It just nothing can sustain this long term. Nothing has been. I've never seen a single topic. I wouldn't even say a game, any topic talked about as much on social media ever. Period.
Maybe Cabbage Patch Kids would have been back in the day. I don't know.
You know, it's
funny.
Period. Even crazy like social happenings, like nothing.
Sure.
Yeah.
As approached it even at all, and so of course it's going to come down. The question is it going to come down? And then yes, do like a Clash of Clans where it's going to be. number one or like in the top 10 of the App Store for
right.
2, 3, 4 years.
I don't think so. That I would be really surprised if it, like, long term, I feel like if you compare like Clash of Clans 5 years with Pokemon Go, it's going to be really hard to maintain that kind of like level of of income as a game like Clash of Clans or Puzzle and Dragons.
Yeah. And a lot of people are saying that I haven't played, I like downloaded it while I was in Europe. I caught like a Pidgey or something on it, was literally sitting on my bed in the hotel room, and I was like, okay, I didn't have coverage anyway, but I was like, that's fine, I can, whatever, no big deal. But yeah. So I don't really know, but I've seen like a lot of people who are like more game reviewers, obviously they're not like kids, they're not even necessarily like the target audience for this thing, but talking about that as a game, it's not, it's just not that deep, it's just not
But that could be why it's successful. It could be one.
No, absolutely. Yeah. But long term, I'm trying to think. I guess you could point to like a Candy Crush or something like that and say that's not that deep and that's sustained long term.
Well, the numbers. So even small revenue, it'll still add up big time.
Absolutely. Like this thing is a success, pure and simple. But I don't think it's going to like. It's not going away.
If it
it's just a matter
good,
of
no
how,
one would be surprised,
what level is it going to
level
off.
I think one thing that's interesting is like the social aspect to it. I don't know if there's been like a mobile game that has had that. Like we're talking about Candy Crush and shit like that, where all you have is like a friend and you like borrow their candy monster or something.
Yeah,
like,
next level.
Yeah, now you're actually meeting the people that you're playing with.
Right.
You know, I'm really curious about how it's going to play out in Japan, because in the West, you get people in like alleys and stuff. Like you get people, you run into other players and you converse and you talk and you talk to people you don't know. People don't do that in Japan. You go to Yodobashi and Akihabara.
I think one kind of window into what Japan might be like is if we kind of go back and think about what happened with Dragon Quest IX.
That's what I was going to bring up, actually.
Yeah, like, and I think you'll see a lot of like
the street pass,
what happened, gathering areas.
So a whole bunch of people staying next to each other, being quiet.
Like social,
it's
social
freaky as heck.
Gatherings
spots formed,
of people not talking to each other.
You go to Yodobashi, there's like literally 100 people standing there. None of them are looking at each other, eye contact. They're not talking.
Huh. Right.
It's so bizarre.
I kind of get the feeling that people are going to be lining up at Pokestop, like instead of like just like all these people, there will be a line to get a certain Pokemon.
Japan. You're probably right.
Yeah, you probably are right.
Yeah. And there will be the local police guy who has no job. Yeah. He's just this old 65-year-old nice gentleman
they will kill Pokemon Go if they do that. They will suck the fun out of it.
I'm just really excited to like go out.
I'm excited to see. I think it's going to be a little different from the West, but I'm excited to be like a part of that and see what it's like. But
it's going
to
be nuts here.
Another food for thought is that...
Especially in Tokyo, my God.
Yeah.
JJ takes all the cool pictures around Tokyo. I can't wait to see your pictures of Pokemon Go play.
I'm really excited about that too.
That's gonna be awesome,
John.
You got to make a hashtag for that.
I just want to see how Nintendo's attitude changes, because one thing is for sure, and is they absolutely went into this looking at this as a way to fuel like pushing people towards like NX or 3DS or whatever. Right? This is going to be like a sort of side thing, this whole mobile thing, to get people to buy like Pokemon Sun and Moon or whatever. You know what I mean? Like they kind of like, we're going to use the mobile. I mean, they
said
as much.
It'd be interesting to see the sales figures of Sun and Moon.
Well,
right?
Well, I think it's going to work, but I'm also curious, like by the end of it, like are they actually going to, I bet you they invest more in the mobile than they initially planned to, because they probably are realizing now this is bigger than even we thought it was going to be.
Well, your side dish
becomes
the main dish,
Exactly. Yeah.
The third pillar.
Mm. I saw sales for used games went up like 200% or something.
Used Pokemon.
I love how DNA is not involved in any of this, even though the whole thing in Japan was like, we're partnering with this big company, we're going to put out games that they go completely unrelated to them, and boom, the big hit. It's
I did think it was cool that the day that Nintendo stocks started to just explode and go crazy was the 1 year anniversary of Iwata's death.
Yeah.
It was kind of like he was like, yeah, bitches. Boom.
Since we haven't been playing that, is there any games that people have been playing otherwise? You guys all
just Monster Hunter?
No,
Monster Hunter.
I played this French action game.
No, that I don't.
it's literally made of like, it's like a digitized action game where everybody is just like this really shitty cosplayer.
Wait, are you talking? It sounds like you're talking about like every Atari Jaguar fighting game ever made.
It's like that, but I don't remember the name. So
whatever. Dave Alderson thinks about it.
But the gameplay is actually pretty good. So
I was playing. I don't know if you'd call it playing, but 999.
No shit.
Oh, you jumped on that bandwagon.
3DS or
the no. the iPhone
yes.
version.
So the non-playing
that one like
version.
Cuts the game
cuts out the puzzles, which apparently like the puzzles are super shitty and tedious.
Yes they are.
They are.
I think so.
it's weird. So I downloaded this because I had an iPad with me, and I kind of wanted to. I didn't really want to play a game as much, but I kind of wanted to half read, half play a game. I wanted to have a good book.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to kind of. So it actually like fit. It's like, wow, this actually fits the fucking bill perfectly.
For when you want a good book or a game.
And then the new one came out. The new one came out, yeah. And people were like, "No, you really should play the old ones, and you should start with the first one
because it's a trilogy." So.
Yeah, and I did have my Vita, and I was actually going to download it, but I was like, "All right, I'll try the
did
first one."
Did you see
one.
Me tweeting about it? Because I was asking people and everybody was like, "Yes, play the first one." So I did the same. I got the DS one. I already had it, so I just put it in my DS. But that's as far as I got.
I see. I saw somebody was like Griffin McElroy or some friend of the show was talking to Vinny, friend of the show from the Beastcast or whatever. So I played through it once, and you have to. So Roy,
I just got as far as like being sick of the puzzles and stopped playing it.
Oh wow, okay,
okay. So maybe I should just play the iPhone version.
Yeah, maybe I'll try that too because I only got like a half hour in the DS game, and I was like, I can't deal with the jank. Like it was just like, the game itself was just so.
Is it the moving around?
I think Myst is garbage. Like, I'm like, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, I just was never into those kind of games when I was younger to begin with. So I couldn't get the interface of the game part was just, like, offensive. So, like, I couldn't get into the story. You know what I mean?
The localization, I have to say, at least in the iOS version, I don't know if it's the same. It bothers me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's very workmanlike, is how I would call it. Yeah. Not to, like, it was just very.
I heard they get better.
Literal and really okay, good. Yeah, I mean it's just like a lot of times you can read the sentence and be like, I can kind of imagine what this was in Japanese. Like, it's just like,
please confirm your selection. I was like, okay.
It's just very. Yeah, I don't want to harp on it too much, but I mean, it's the thing where you're like taking screenshots of. I mean, we're tougher on that stuff. We notice that stuff more, but
yeah. Gonna make a Google Doc.
You don't want to proofread when you're playing a game, right?
I will say, like, parts of the plot are super interesting. The characters don't seem really that distinct. There's another part of the localization where I feel like it's not like, you know, there's nine people that it starts off with. They don't, I feel like, all have a really unique voice. And they can be kind of, if you just were reading what they said, it's not like, oh, I know exactly who said every line, right? Which is usually a sign of a good, localization. But definitely interesting enough to play through probably a couple more times.
So how long did it take to play through?
The first time, I guess I'd estimate, you know, basically reading through like, maybe 6 hours or so.
Oh, okay.
That's not bad. That's approachable.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all. But
I was expecting much less though because it's the game part's not involved.
It's funny because it just says like then they solved the puzzle. Like there's like a long lead up and everybody's explaining and saying every single thing and then it's like then they solved the puzzle and then you go on to the next thing.
So what is it about these games that people are so drawn to?
I mean,
did you figure that out?
I could tell. Yeah, I could tell at least. I'm not playing the puzzle, so I don't know if that ultimately becomes a draw, but like it's very much there's like a style of there's a few comics that are like this in Japan. There's a few, I think there've been a few movies and TV shows and stuff like that where like there's some kind of supernatural thing going on, a bunch of people are trapped in a room or transported somewhere else like in Gantz or whatever and then some people are getting like killed in horrific ways.
It sounds like the trailer for Cube. When are we going to get a game based on Cube?
There you go. It kind of is Cube.
Oh,
but
really?
There's a bunch of different things across different media that are like this,
right.
And they're like intriguing ideas, and you do want to figure it out. It's like a mystery mixed in with good care. If it had good characters,
is it kind of like Clue? Like you're trying to find out who done it, or
well, once so you know it ruins
it. I don't know. Probably I'm definitely not the best person to ask because I only played through it once and it was like the least satisfying. Like what the hell? It was so obvious that okay, I have to play through every permutation. And the game/book lets you skip back to the branching points.
Okay.
So that you can then replay them. And without spoiling too much, you are going, it's like nine people, nine doors, nine whatever.
Yeah.
Nine, nine, nine. you're choosing kind of who's going through which door. And so who you're with can differ depending on what you choose. And so I have no idea how different the different branching path is.
It's kind of like one of those, like, you know, ladder games where you have, like, the four people at the top and you pick a lane, and then...
That's exactly
one of the things that turned me off to it is, like, when I sent this tweet out and asked people for advice, a few people were like, make sure you play every path. And I'm like, all right, like, that's never going
to
happen. Yeah.
I can tell you, you fucking have to. I thought the same thing. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to play through this one path and then I'll go on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Playing through one, like... You can tell that it's basically like it's the game is designed
for you to try all these different.
It's like you haven't seen the ending yet. The game is ended, but you really have no idea what
do you sort of new game plus it. I mean, if you finish one, then you continue like having done the previous one, or you're like starting over from scratch.
Is it like near where
you go back to the point where it branched?
Oh, okay, sounds like a really bad execution of Choose Your Own Adventure.
I mean, I wouldn't call it a bad execution because Choose Your Own Adventure is fucking garbage.
Awesome. Oh, really? What? Yes. You didn't like it?
Choose Your Own Adventure is fucking horrible.
When I was six, I think it'd be fine if that were Shots a self-contained fired. Game, but making it a trilogy that requires you to play all three games is kind of asking
around. Does it require... It's like a book. Does it require you to?
It doesn't require you, but you'll enjoy it more.
I mean, you're going to enjoy it a lot more, right? You're going to understand
it. But it sounds like it's more like the way Nier did New Game Plus in that you're not playing from the beginning to the end every single time.
Right. You're not, however, at least with the iOS version, it's totally fucked because you can't skip back to the like the scene where you choose the first door but literally even on the fastest skipping through the text
takes forever
a half hour and I gave up.
This reminds me I have some trauma with I hear this and I don't even want to play it because there was a level 5 game that was a very similar concept where it was like a very anime story.
The one by
it was
Jiro Ishii.
So bad
one with the girl on the train, what was it called?
It was so bad I can never play a game like that again in my life.
I made a YouTube video of that I think or something got like 200
That was at that event but I think it was the Leighton and Phoenix right
that was the Leighton and Phoenix right they got 300,000
still no Pokemon.
We're running long so we should move on.
Let's do that. Why don't we take a break, and when we will come back, we will do the news. We are back with not the news yet.
No, not the news.
We're back with the notes on last week's podcast.
Oh, right.
JJ, give us the notes. The theme for notes on last week's podcast. All right. So, first of all.
Yeah, go ahead.
We did a great job.
You did a great job.
We did.
Thank you.
You did fine.
As usual.
However, the energy in the room is what I would charitably describe as low.
Palpable?
Low. It's like, well, I think there's going to be a Bloodborne VR, and very excited.
That is not how
that.
I sound. The thing is
we were just
like,
coming off another podcast.
We had actually done another podcast, but I will say in my defense, I'm going to throw everybody under the bus.
No.
Most of you guys are pretty low-key. Like, Roy, you're low-key.
Well, I mean,
John, you weren't bringing
it. You guys make it hard to cut in, I'll be honest.
That's true.
They need a little kick in the pants sometimes. Go back and listen to it. I think you will.
People like it.
Agree. I'm just, these are notes, JJ.
It's a different kind of podcast.
People like Donald Trump, JJ.
It is constructive criticism. Okay. JJ, you referred to the characters in Splatoon as Callie and Mary.
Yeah.
And I have not played Splatoon, but I'm guessing that it's Callie and Mari?
It probably is, but I only played the Japanese version, so you have to...
Okay, all right. I actually don't know the case on that.
Completely different Splatoon. Names. Like Japanese people.
Who's winning? Do we know?
You say Splatoon.
I didn't notice that one.
It's Splatoon.
That's pretty much.
I say who
that's okay. The Japanese people say Splatoon.
Tomorrow,
I think it's 22nd,
right?
Oh, it's this weekend.
Splatfest
tomorrow,
this weekend.
Last Splatfest,
Team Marie,
Thank God that friend of the show, Kat, was here as the voice of reason on this like Twitch sponsoring people eating stuff thing.
Yeah, that was good.
Like, were you guys like, brain? What is this? You guys are like, that's a great idea. I'm excited. I would watch people eat stuff.
I know what he said. They would watch
eat stuff.
A lot of people
do. Yes, you did. No, you did.
Somebody did,
but it wasn't
like,
me.
No, people watch people cook stuff for half an hour.
No, but people watch people eat stuff.
I watch people eat stuff.
I like watching people eat stuff.
It's an Asia. It's an Asia thing.
Freaks.
It is a total Asia thing.
There's a lot of really like million, you know, subscriber Japanese YouTube channels with girls who just eat like shit from the convenience.
And they're really small and they eat like gargantuan quantities of noodles and shit.
But Twitch shouldn't be like doing anything that's popular. Like if
Kat's argument though was that they were like kind of betraying their gaming roots or whatever, and that's not what they're doing.
What about Bob Ross? Bob Ross brought everybody together.
But
why can't noodles and shit bring people together too?
Noodles and Bob Ross.
Right?
God damn it.
His hair is kind of like noodles.
But I think her point was if you go against, if you try to be, start trying to be everything to everyone and you lose your focus on gamers, you're just after money or expanding as big as possible. I mean, that's pretty, watching people fucking eat is pretty far away from gaming.
Well, is that in the creative channel? Like, which is, what is it?
I don't know.
It has its own channel.
Hey, anyway. I'm just arguing for the sake of arguing. Hey, I love Kat. We had an amazing like hour-long chat at Bit Summit about this kind of stuff that was on the podcast.
There were 10
really
minutes
good.
About soccer in the episode.
Kat's fault.
That's she, the most, well, she got into
that. I know.
Football for the rest
and
of the world.
And I have to say, that's the smartest talk there will ever be on 8-4 about soccer, because she actually knows
the last
what she's talking about. And then I don't know why
I like how you wrote notes down. That really makes me feel like you care. Mark.
Wrote what?
He wrote
notes.
He
notes. Yeah,
I never listen when I'm not on. I'm happy to see this.
Yeah. I have one thing here about Greek music too. I don't know what that means.
I should have had Greek music.
Mark.
Yes.
What's up with the bracelet?
What's up with the bracelet? My wife bought me this in Greece.
Oh, I like the colors.
Cute. Thank you.
Are they like
they're like
Greek
res colors.
Flag colors or something?
Look at that.
It looks like a snake.
You know, I kind of see like Wipeout more than res, but
really,
yeah.
It looks like those things we used to get in the 80s. We used to get when we were in school.
Yep.
We used to get those
buddy bands.
Were they
speaking of the 80s? Pause. Has anybody else finished Stranger Things yet?
Not yet.
No,
I'm halfway through it.
I watched episode 5 last night, and it.
Shut! Don't finish that sentence.
I'm not gonna say anything.
I'm just about to watch episode 5.
Made him want to watch episode 6.
Okay.
I don't want to nothing to do with spoilers or not, but I just want to say I love Winona Ryder. Even old Winona Ryder is great.
Yeah,
really? I wish I could marry Winona
She's
Ryder.
Really great in that
if
series.
If you're listening, Winona Ryder, please marry me.
Astounded at how good a lot of kid actors, kind of surprised at how good.
I feel like kid actors just don't get a chance anymore. No one takes shot on kid actors these days.
And like, they look they look like normal people too, most of them.
Yeah. I love the chubby kid. Like, he's like just such a like, just like they would never like cast an adult that looked like the adult version of that kid.
No,
but you know what
none
I mean?
Of the kids.
Yeah,
I mean except for the girl. Like none of the kids. Yeah. The main. I don't know if you call him the main kid. The main kid is basically me. He's basically me. It's 1983. He's like 10 years old.
You don't mean the one who got abducted. You mean
no,
mean,
no.
Oh, okay.
The kid that's
podcast.
The Mike that
or
has
whatever,
the basement.
Or I forget his name.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He looks kind of like I used to look too. I'm not proud to say.
And you played D&D in your basement.
And I played D&D in our basement. Yes, yeah. I played D&D in many basements.
Such a great show. If you haven't seen it, Netflix, Stranger Things.
Okay.
Go watch it. It's awesome.
So we talked about Japan warning their kids against Pokemon Go. Are these also warnings against Jesus Christ?
Yeah, so the government actually released the one that you're holding there, and it's like an essay.
Yes.
That is insane.
That nobody would ever read.
How many words can you cram in the box?
I'm not that surprised, though, to
be
honest.
Yeah, I'm not either.
This is
like, if you've been to any kind of, like, you know, government building.
But this is from the National Center.
It's work just to do work.
This is from the National Center of Incident Readiness and Strategy for Cybersecurity. Released this like big, and of course there are like little illustrations here.
Just
about
to figure out the acronym.
Can't wait for the little anime they're going to make on it and probably put it on YouTube.
Yeah. Nintendo announces Mini NES launching this fall. No Mini Famicom.
Yeah.
Not yet.
For Japan?
Yeah.
My theory is it maybe this is a dumb. I mean, this is dumb. You can find a way around this, but the fact is there is no controller ports on a Famicom, so it's not as easy to make a replica Famicom. You know, NES they just took the Wii U, Wii and Wii U ports, and the Wii, you know, that plug into the Wii remote,
right?
And those are where the controller ports were on the NES. Famicom did not have controller ports because they were hardwired to the system, so you would have to modify the authentic. And Japan is so anal about authenticity.
They should make them wireless. They should make them wireless.
They could just make them wireless.
I would hope they would just plug it in on the sides. It's no one's going to care. It's the fine.
It's just USB, right, on the Mini NES.
No, it's the Wii remote.
It's actually that thing?
You can use it on your Wii and your Wii U.
What?
Yeah,
you can plug in.
I did not realize
you can
that.
Plug in some of your Wii controllers into this.
Oh, okay. So, little tiny pint-sized NES. Fits in the palm of your hand.
It's a teacup size.
November 11th.
Beautiful.
$60.
I'm going to buy one from the US. I'm going to buy one from the UK. Although I am disappointed. The UK version doesn't have like...
It's, 30 games.
30 really good games, but the UK version is the US version of the game. So like you're not getting like weird ass Probotector, which I was hoping. You're getting Super C.
I'm like,
and you have to buy your adapter separately, which is really weird.
I'm very hyped about this, but I really hope that they get the emulation right, because
so that is going to be a really good question.
I don't want like blurry virtual console.
There is sadly, there is a high chance that this could turn out to be like an inferior product in the end. As cool as it is, like if the emulation is not spot on perfect, it will be, I think, a failure.
Yeah. It's interesting. Well, I mean, no matter what, it's not going to be a failure.
I don't mean a commercial failure. Right. I mean a critic, like just like in my mind, which is what really
matters. An 8.4 failure. Right. 8.4 failure.
Well, this is the only kind of failure that matters.
That's right. It's the only failure that matters. Yeah, and it's interesting to see some third party games on here too, which is cool. Really good selection.
It's like
people
our childhood
seem
right
to
there,
agree
right?
oh. as a, you know, as a mass market item.
Yeah. I kind of wish they would have not put
hockey,
in
though.
Pac-Man.
Come on.
The packaging is beautiful.
Pac-Man is a funny one. Yeah,
beautiful. I wish there were more two-player games.
I'm very glad that they put in Tecmo Bowl instead of Super Tecmo Bowl, because everybody knows the original is the best
Tecmo
one.
Super Bowl. Generally.
Whatever.
So yeah, they're
it's
not
inferior.
I didn't notice this Q&A where they ask, is this running via emulator? And they just say, we're not discussing technical specifications.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they put in 30 games into... Yeah,
right. So saving work, too, this is another thing that will be a big question. It says each game has multiple suspend
points. That's really interesting, yeah.
But what's multiple? Is it like four in Castlevania? Or is it like
I don't know
done at every level?
I don't know if
or
you get to
done,
choose them or if they're automated. They're set at certain places. But that's still pretty cool.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, the thing about it, though, is like this is absolutely... You know, I got really frustrated when I saw like some people like arguing about like... But I have Virtual Console and I have this or whatever, and it's like this isn't for you, genius. Like this is basically a nostalgia It's a nostalgia play. I mean, half the point is like buying a like authentic replica of an NES and getting a kick-ass controller that you can like NES controller that you can use with your Virtual Console games on your Wii and Wii U.
So put it like
presumably NX. Let's face it. Like if they're doing this now, there's a good chance the NX is going to support the Wii Remote, right? Yeah. Because why would you not? You know.
To put it like very simply, the draw of this system is for people like on my Facebook feed, people who I grew up with, you know, high school and all that stuff like that, do not play video games at all. Saw this and were like, oh man, I can't wait to buy this for my kids.
Yep.
Yeah, those are exactly.
It is like the Nintendo indoctrination machine.
If they don't undership this, it's going to be the biggest thing this Christmas by a mile.
Totally.
Like, it's going to be huge.
Do you think kids are going to like getting that?
No. Probably not, but they're fucking going to get
that's
one.
That's the point, Roy.
Yeah, exactly.
They're gonna play
if they're not going to play it, I guess I will, right?
If you can't appreciate Star Tropics.
Games on there, though. There are some stuff on there. Star Tropics is kind of hard, though, I think, for your average wussy 5-year-old.
There's no Wisdom Tree titles on there.
Oh, boy.
And that includes Bible Buffet, which I owned mint inbox sealed.
Yes.
Do you
really? I used to.
They sell the instruction manual for that. On their website.
Well, they're also selling a...
I was one of those kids who used to buy the extra instruction manuals from the website. Like, that stuff is valuable now, man.
Well, specifically, Bible Buffet kind of had, like, quiz questions and stuff in there, right?
Dude, it was sealed.
Oh.
Sealed inbox.
Oh, right.
I never opened that shit.
How would you know? Yeah.
So they were asking for $16,500. Hopefully they didn't get it.
Did you watch the video?
No.
Oh, Mark, I wish you watched the video before this podcast. The
really?
Video is amazing.
Really?
I read Jeremy Parrish's article about this for, I forget if it was US Gamer or just his Twitter or whatever, and I was like, this sounds interesting, I want it. I watched the video. By the end of the video, I'm like, fuck this, I'm not buying this. The
Why?
Video is just one dude sitting there, and like, so the, first of all, it's like professional quality video until it gets to the part where a dude's on screen, and then suddenly it's like the one mic in the background.
Oh,
barely,
yes!
And then the dude's there, and like he's trying to play the game, and like he plugs in and he's like, oh, we had it on from earlier, let me fix it, then he fixes it. And then he like starts playing it.
They included this in the video?
Yes. And then he starts playing it, and it freezes, and he's like, oh, let me just reset it and do it again. And they kept this all in the video.
What?
It's amazing. It's like the best Kickstarter video ever.
Oh my god.
And I was like, I can't. I mean, I feel for the guy, but no, I'm sorry.
I don't understand why anybody would spend money just to play Wisdom Tree games.
It's a collector.
It's a collector thing,
right?
I mean, you're getting it. You can, if you pay high enough, you can get an actual physical NES cartridge.
I would say collect the carts. Don't play the.
You know.
It's a collection play. I mean, it's not even that. It's smart, but I'm just like, I can't believe. It's almost like they don't know how to like edit videos, so they just were like, fuck it, we're just gonna keep going.
They just like recorded the whole thing on their iPhone and just like, I can't edit this.
Does it include Menace Beach, or do you only get Sunday Fun Day?
No, dude.
It's got like 7 or 8 games.
The whole lineup was right there.
Because, well, I mean, Menace Beach wasn't a Wisdom Tree game. But
it's just
Sunday Funday was a ROM hack of that game.
It's all.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Sunday Funday is there.
I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo went after them. I know, like, there are other NES replica controllers out there because that's the system itself. Is it NES? It looks like an NES controller.
Oh, what the fuck?
Very much like an NES controller. The power button is on there and everything.
That stays true to Wisdom Tree in that they're like the pirate NES games now, like the pirate NES. Emulator.
But
system.
Now that Nintendo's putting out, maybe 5 years ago it wouldn't matter, but now that they've got their own NES mini thing coming out, they don't want market confusion with that sort of thing. They just went after those guys who did the NES Kickstarter book, and they're like working something
out. Well,
we'll
see if this even makes the $68,000.
Yeah. I wanted to succeed, but I was just like, it was just funny. Having done Kickstarter videos before and then seeing this video is like, really? That's the video you're going to put out?
Yeah.
Animal Crossing New Leaf getting amiibo support.
Oh my god.
This is awesome.
This
news.
Fall.
I've been looking for an excuse to pick that game back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. This is awesome.
I actually got it for my mom for Mother's Day. Oh. So she's been playing New Leaf, like, you know, well after the fact, and she's like texting me about it and stuff. So
Splatoon items, Toad's Treasure Tracker, what was that called?
You got it.
Cap Toad.
Captain Toad.
That's really cool that they're like bringing that back after all this
Very
time.
Surprising.
Gotta be because the cell phone game is coming out. I'm sure there's something
the one
going
interesting.
On.
That's a good point.
Nintendo wants Zelda producer Eiji Aonuma to make new IP.
Yeah.
Likes the idea of living as a thief.
Hmm.
I'm not sure about that second part. Does anybody care to fill me in on that?
I just feel like Assassin's Creed. I don't know.
Aonuma says, I'm not sure I'm allowed to say anything, but I really like the idea of a game where I can live as a thief. That's all I'll say. That's pretty cool.
All right.
As if Link going into people's houses and taking their rubies wasn't thieving.
Well, yeah, maybe it's more of that.
He does say, in case you're worried, like Nintendo has been telling me to create a new IP, but then they're also telling me to make more Zelda games. So
live at the office, Aonuma-san.
That was just live there. With an interview with Edge magazine, if you're curious. Zelda DMCA takedown notices for porn.
Yeah.
Nintendo stock, we think we covered that. The most traded in any one day this century. Sounds more impressive than the last 16 years.
Yeah.
People making money on Pokemon Go. Lots of money. Pokemon Go. More Pokemon Go shit. I think we talked. Yeah.
It's going to launch tomorrow.
Enough about this.
Yesterday.
It's going to launch tomorrow. I swear.
It's been launching tomorrow for the last week.
I'm starting to believe the September thing.
I put out like a hopeful tweet every night. I got to do that tonight too. I'm going to do that every night until it comes out. Wow. So I hope they come out
Team
soon.
Instinct.
All right.
Roy's insisting on this team instinct, so we have to all be on the same team. If
Roy's
kind of like
selling
it.
Me on. I don't know.
More EXP, take over the local gym.
They're
whatever.
The underdogs.
But Roy's insisting on being on this nerd team.
We got to take Tokyo.
Oh my God! There's so many.
The live action one.
All right.
They're making a movie.
Live action movie. A go at Legendary.
Detective
really?
Pikachu, man.
Yeah, it's a Detective
Danny DeVito,
Pikachu.
Oh, my God.
He's getting a live-action movie.
Oh, my God.
Well, we don't know if Danny DeVito is involved, but if he
I'm
isn't...
I'm talking about that, yeah. But
he
that
should
was a
be.
Great game. I mean, well, it was a very interesting game.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they're making a movie on it.
So that commercial, that ad is actually a nice little preview now for the upcoming movie. Persona 5, a whole bunch of videos of that.
I'm actually not watching them. I'm just because I know I'm going to buy it.
I
so
went
I'm
on blackout.
Sort of, I'm blacking out. On
I saw one that was just like showing some menus and people hanging out in a bar, and it was like, that looks like it's going to be really cool.
It's just so crazy and stylish. Like I don't
know how it looks so good.
How do you?
Yeah. Make your decision on your own if you want to check this out. But like a lot of stuff came out.
They had a live stream. There's anime, web comics.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Festival of some sort.
Okay. It's going to be, what is that, TGS?
Yeah, but it comes out basically the same day as TGS starts.
Okay.
So.
Yep, it's due out September 15th, so. And February 14th in the Americas. Ha ha.
Yeah.
another studio could remaster Demon's Souls, says From Software. Yeah. To which I say, cool, thanks, bro. I don't know if I want somebody else.
I mean, if it's just a remaster, that's just the same game. So, I mean, we're not talking about a remake.
Remastered.
I mean, yeah, they could make the frame rate better.
Anyone could make the frame rate better. That dude on Gap
exactly.
could make the frame
exactly.
rate better.
Exactly, that's so. What I'm saying.
If I would want a remaster, I think I would want a, like, Resident Evil kind of style. Like, look, hey, we take everything that we've learned and we're going to redo the graphics and mix some things
you mean,
up
you,
a little
you're
bit.
Meaning like a remake.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah, that's true.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, what was he? I guess it seems like there was a misunderstanding. This is from Miyazaki, what president of From Software now, I think. Misunderstanding in a previous interview in relation to a remake or a remastering of the game. So let me reiterate here. The Dark Souls series is Bandai Namco IP. Demon's Souls and Bloodborne is Sony. Hence, the decision to remake or remaster is under their jurisdiction. Mm. For me and for From Software, I don't think we'd be involved with that happening, but it could happen through another developer. Bloodborne. So there you go. Send your petitions to Sony then, I guess.
Yes.
Adam, the new improved Neo.
Oh.
Next yeah. month, the beta.
Demon Hunter.
August 23rd, PlayStation 4. Limited time download available till September 6th.
God, so what's the deal with this new demo? Is it going to just be like new levels to try
so
or whatever?
They're going to have the demos from the first
new game mechanics?
And, with the new mechanics. And they're going to have the new dojo, which is the training one, which I've tried out.
Tutorial yeah. stage.
And they're going to have more another stage as well, yeah. one or two, which is going to be a brand new location that you can play.
Cool.
So I got to actually sneak peek this one. They had the Famitsu 30th anniversary, I think.
That's right.
Over in Akihabara.
A 4 play exclusive. Boom, boom. Sorry, we don't have that thing.
No, but they had the...
World exclusive. Giant explosion.
We don't have our soundboard.
Go.
So.
Go.
No, so I mean, they had what at E3, they had a behind the doors version of the beta that they're working on.
Yeah.
And they just brought that and they had it out and you can play it. So I played it a few times.
How does it feel compared to the alpha?
I mean... They haven't touched the core of
just
what made
Mark
it awesome.
Mark was right.
No, they haven't touched it. They have not touched the core of what made it awesome, which I'm so happy about.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Mark was religiously talking about the camera lock-on being screwed up, and that when you move backwards, it should stay locked
my
on.
Number
and
one.
I thought, well, yeah, okay, I agree with that, but
major
I don't think
complaint.
That it's a game changer. But no, it's actually quite significant. It feels so much better.
Yeah.
Because they had the underground area where you're underneath the temple from the first demo,
yeah.
and there's all these little corners left and right. So being able to lock on and then move around the corner and strafe it without having to worry about the controls,
yeah.
huge.
There you go.
No, it's great. I think it's going to be great. I'm going to be covering it like nuts. So.
I am much more excited to try this next one knowing that yes. knowledge. Yo-Kai Watch, over 10 million units sold in Japan. About 600,000 units for Yo-Kai Watch 3.
So yeah, this is the bigger news is that collectively, Yo-Kai Watch 3 in its first week is only sold half of what one version of Yo-Kai Watch 2 sold.
So like right. a quarter. It's definitely on the decline.
It is. Yeah. The boom has burst. Bust.
Interesting.
Whatever.
I mean, it's hard. On one hand, yes, but on the other hand, 600-something thousand copies is hardly a failure.
Well, they
right?
also
I mean,
like.
Do you think they're going to cash out and go for like Yo-Kai Go?
Let's
try to do something like it.
Spread maybe. The yeah. amount. Yeah, I guarantee you that's coming.
Huh.
Let's. It actually almost makes more sense for Yo-Kai because Yo-Kai
yeah.
Watch
is basically
fiction,
that
how the fiction works. Yeah. But if you take the number of titles that were released in a year, right? They're doing now like Yo-Kai God. Watch Busters, and they have
yeah, they're shitting them out.
They're kind of dividing up their market.
It's the Hino
their own
curse.
Market. So
yeah.
it's not just there's not just one Yo-Kai Watch game.
How about game sales? Like Yo-Kai Watch game sales in that year, or is it bet over the year before? If you can just consider that.
Mm-hmm. So you mean just like collectively?
Yeah,
how
yeah
many?
Collectively, yeah.
I mean, know. I still think like Yo-Kai Watch Buster has still only sold 688,000.
Right,
only.
But what I'm saying is if well yeah
compare
no.
I mean
you're right and
no,
it's
no,
not
know.
It's not a upward trajectory
yeah.
and it's not a flat trajectory it's definitely
down
trending down.
You also got to consider that the market itself is shrinking
exactly
like, it's a
yeah.
lot
yes
so it's not like it's just a failure.
3DS games in general
wait a minute
3DS games in general
yeah,
are not
down.
Selling
in general yeah but Yo-Kai Watch is not a in general game nor is like Pokemon these are like
no yeah
phenoms.
But I'm saying
yeah but
the market overall is smaller for lots of different reasons.
It would
reasons.
Not be weird to think that 20% of Yo-Kai Watch people now just play whatever Yo-Kai shit is on their phone instead of on 3DS.
There isn't really
that's
any
the
good
point.
Yo-Kai shit on
no.
their phone.
But my
though.
Point is that people have moved on from 3DS to other things.
It's the declining population.
Should we expect similar sales from the next Pokemon game then? Like, I don't think so.
Right? I think the next Pokemon game will sell. I think this is very clear that Yo-Kai Watch is very much on the decline.
We don't see it on TV.
I think it has nothing to do with 3DS. Kids still play their 3DSs. They would buy this on their 3DS.
But
that has not changed. But kids are the same.
No, kids are not the same.
Yeah, they are.
How could you even say that statement? Kids are the same from 2 years ago.
Because if they want to play a Yo-Kai Watch game, the only place they can play a real Yo-Kai Watch game is on 3DS.
So you're telling me the rate that with which kids are playing other devices, mobile and whatever, has not changed in the last 2 years?
I'm not saying anything about any other game other than Yo-Kai Watch. Kids, if they wanted to play Yo-Kai Watch, they would play it on the 3DS.
Okay. In Sega Rent-A-Hero news,
yes.
It's being adapted into a movie, which is unbelievable to me. I'm surprised.
Is it going to be Bruce Willis?
I love this.
I'm surprised it was ever made as a game, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just as a movie, but that's pretty awesome. So let's see who's making this. Stories International. Wow, okay. Hot Tub Time Machine director Steve Pink, who wrote Gross Point Blank and High Fidelity. Wow, attached to co-write the film. I didn't realize, or maybe I'd forgotten, that Rent-A-Hero was produced by Yu Suzuki.
Wow. Yeah.
But there was a Mega Drive game, and then they made a Dreamcast one, I think, too,
yes,
right?
They did. Yeah.
Dreamcast and Xbox, only in Japan. Anyway, I think it's going to be a very loose approximation of what that Japanese game was, because it was a silly, weird, crazy game. I'm so happy about Valve shutting down these CS:GO.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I was following. I couldn't, like, this was one thing that I really followed while I was on vacation. Yeah. The whole drama with those guys. Fucking just evil.
Yeah.
No, not even just like shitty people, just like evil, shitty people.
And to the very end, they were like bald-faced,
lying,
crying in his mansion.
Just the fucking worst.
Yeah.
The fucking worst. Mm-hmm. Like, incapable of a mea culpa, incapable of like admitting when they're wrong and redemption. Yeah. Just fucking horrible. Street Fighter V getting new Capcom Pro Tour and nostalgic DLC. They show this at Evo.
Yeah,
we all watched Evo, I think, to some degree,
yes,
or another. JJ, you had to miss the finals.
I did. I was literally in a room with like a 900-year-old Japanese guy signing papers to buy land
and thinking about what was happening with infiltration.
As I had written
Long Island Joe. Did you hear after the fact, or just like see on Twitter the whole like Long Island Joe thing and his dad and yeah, like that?
It was, I think it was his mom, right? She died of cancer.
What?
Well, and that's why he has like a pink backpack.
I don't actually know.
Yeah. His dad. Until I found out it was his dad, I thought it was like some like '80s like metal, you know, like rock dude like came out of retirement to like cheer him on or something.
Right.
I didn't know about this part.
Oh, you did
the cheering. I only heard about
his
backpack.
He didn't know his dad was there. His dad was in the audience, and he didn't actually know. Like he found out like
awesome
during it after the, and then like, yeah, he saw his dad and they hugged and everything.
It was
but his dad
cool
was like very like animated and like had like the tank top and like the crazy wild hair.
Yeah,
he looked
yeah
like a rocker from the '80s, basically.
He looked kind of like that dude from the Robert Rodriguez movies. What's that guy's name? Machete. The guy.
Yes.
Right?
I have no idea that guy's name.
We should know his name. But anyway, it was definitely like a moment, and plus he was the only American left in the
right
top eight.
Yeah.
And so,
and he did well.
It was exciting. It was, and he came back in his first match as well. He was in losers bracket, so it was you know, immediate elimination if he lost. It was really exciting. After that, I think it was, though, the finals was like not up to previous years.
I don't know what it is, but like Infiltration, I think he's kind of like the heel of the fighting game community. Nobody wants him to win.
Too, right? He came back from the losers bracket.
He did.
Win.
He got, and he beat the guy who put him in the losers.
Then he got like three perfects. It's like, okay, that's not really fun.
And then he did the download complete. You saw that quote, right? Where they asked him, like, so what happened there? And he was like, let me just say this. And he did it in English, like, download complete.
He's a total asshole. Like, I watch his streams.
Come on,
he's
a total asshole.
He is, but like,
he's not a total asshole.
He is a lovable asshole.
He's a bit of a heel. But that's part of it because he's so fucking good.
Really good.
He is really good.
I don't know, because I know you guys aren't very interested in Smash Brothers, but the Super Smash Brothers Melee tournament,
I saw people talking about it.
Was one of my favorite Evo moments.
I was going to go back and watch that because I saw people talking about it, but it's not, it's more so than any other sporting event to me is watching this after the fact, especially I couldn't help but see who had won.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
But like it was down to the very last slither of life, and it was just you couldn't tell what was going to happen. It was great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Evo Japan was announced.
That's
fuck
awesome.
Yeah. There. Wow. More details at Tokyo yes. Game Show
gonna
in
be
September.
There.
Definitely.
This
gonna take the kids.
Polygons from friend of the show, Mike McWhorter. We got a lot of our news from them
right.
and those guys.
That means Graham does not have an excuse to not go to Evo.
No, I think 8-4 should sponsor Graham. I think he should be wearing an 8-4 t-shirt.
He will be.
I was saying this back for Evo. Yeah. And we could crowdfund his fucking trip
He will be going.
Evo, and he's good.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know how he is on 5.
I wonder how he's on 5, yeah.
He was ranked really high at the beginning. I don't know if he's still playing. I'll ask him when he gets
we'll
to Tokyo.
We'll hear from him again soon.
That would be cool. There's a bunch of other like little news out of Evo. Congrats to all the winners. We won't go through.
You see how many people signed up for Street Fighter? Like 5,100 or something?
Yeah,
like, I think last year was like half that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the ESPN stuff at all?
I did. Yeah. I was
saw
watching
Bill Walton's
that.
Thing afterwards. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah. Seth Killian's friend of the show, Seth Killian's commentary was only on ESPN, and he is by far.
He's the best commentator. Yeah.
By far.
It's so funny because I remember talking to Seth Killian at our TGS party like 5 years ago, and I was like, Evo's going to be on ESPN2 sometime soon. Just believe that. He's like, yeah, maybe. And
oh, yeah.
I'm like,
wow, really? You said that?
I did.
That's funny. That's you made
story,
that happen,
man.
JJ.
I made,
you willed it into the universe.
With my mind bullets.
That's right. right. Is that it? Anything else? Any other exciting news?
Bit Summit was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
You went to Bit Summit.
Yeah, abbreviated version of Bit Summit. It was cool. It got bigger than previous years.
That's right. That's
we good. Were there to show off the Japanese version of Shovel Knight, which had just come out. Very cool seeing all the kids. Like, there were tons of children like, coming
kids.
Up playing Shovel Knight, playing co-op. We had the Amiibo set out with the Wii U.
That's
so you could
awesome.
Play two players co-op. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
Show in general, like, I missed last year. I was in voice recording for a project, whatever that was. And I missed it last year. And so I hadn't been there in 2 years.
Xenoblade Chronicles
X.
you worked on
well,
for,
I was trying to remember what the code name was. I couldn't remember the code name.
Project
I think it was
X,
maybe. But that was also Fire Emblem. I don't know. Anyway, I know you had already said it got a lot better last year, but for me, not having been there in 2 years, Bit Summit was much more like organized and
right.
and good crowd too. There's a lot of people there.
Yeah,
Sakaguchi-san, the creator of Final Fantasy, was just there signing stuff for people the whole weekend.
How drunk was
Iga?
He
wasn't drunk. At
he drinking
Summit,
his
so
wine.
Yeah,
Iga, Castlevania creator Iga, friend of the show. He was actually like he was there with the Bloodstained demo, and he was just sitting next to every single person that played the demo and watching them play and talking.
Iga's
to them.
Such
That's
a cool
the
dude.
Whole
for real.
Weekend.
Iga's awesome.
Every single person. He was awesome. So yeah, it was a cool event. It was fun, and it's always great to get out Kyoto and see those guys. That was the only other big thing that went on, though, I think, right? There wasn't nothing much other than like a lot of anxiety over Pokemon.
Team Instinct.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You already decided? Really?
Yeah.
Why?
He's decided, but what's going to happen is the first person that gets to level 5 is
it'll
ultimately
be me.
Going
it'll
to
be
decide.
Me. It'll be me.
We got to be on
Roy's
same team.
I was reading the,
I put
the,
money on Roy
the profiles of the three, and I got to say I like the Valor.
Is Valor blue?
Is there an actual difference
red.
Between
I like red, too.
The
because
the
silhouette has
red,
a skirt and she looks like she's probably
yellow.
Cute.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was probably unofficial, but they had like a little website saying like, what's the mentality of if you're part of this team? Like, what? Right. How do you think?
Yeah, the instinct is the nerds.
No, instinct
like,
is face away.
Pokemon.
That's
not nerdy.
Hold on. Can anybody explain what the mentality of each team is?
Vigor is like, I believe in strength. I'm really strong.
Okay.
Like,
red ones are
asking.
The other guys are like, we're smart. I believe in being smart.
Blue ones are the scientists. They like research Pokemon. Pokemon, they know the evolutions, all that shit.
Like
they got
the
DNA,
like
in
Billy
pockets,
the Blue
whatever.
Ranger.
I don't know. Okay. And then his is the nerds.
I don't know. The way I read it was by as a trainer. They said like the yellow one, you just trust that at the right moment, the right thing will happen, almost like Yu-Gi-Oh, like pulling
it's
the right
faith.
Card. Like,
oh,
yeah,
the heart of cards.
Yeah, and then
do you
like the blue
in the
was
heart
like,
of cards?
I'm going to be the smart guy. I'm going to research the opponent. I'm going to do it right. You know, like being.
Why
like,
do we got to be
the total
so
cool kid? And I know
intelligent
it's so funny, right? And no, and the red was, you know, the idea that, no, you got to train to succeed. So you train hard and you win.
JJ,
like
where's
that.
My E3 hype train board when I need
it? I know.
Anytime. We're going to need to invent a new one for specifically
Pokemon
for Pokemon Go conversations. We need to come up with something.
Yeah, we'll think about it.
We have 2 weeks to figure that out. So in the meantime,
maybe it'll be out by then.
We could just
maybe
be like,
not.
I want to be.
What should
the
other people?
Best.
What should the fans do while we're doing that?
Oh, they can find us on our website at 8-4.jp, our second home, giantbomb.com. We have a Facebook. Rate us on iTunes. 5 stars only.
There's a NeoGAF thread.
There's a NeoGAF thread. Usually.
Mostly.
We have a Twitter at A4Play. Mine is SBRSK.
I'm at Mark MacD.
I am AEvanko.
I am John TV.
I'm Kotori.
And just to also add them to plug for any budding monster hunters out there, your YouTube channel.
Yes, so it's very easy to find. Just look for Gaijin Hunter.
G-A-I.
He doesn't hunt Gaijins, he hunts monsters.
Exactly. I'm not going after you guys' boyfriends or girlfriends. So.
Yeah,
G-A-I-G-J-I-N. Sorry,
you just spelled it wrong. It's part of the fun.
G-A-I-J.
We'll put it in the show. Whatever.
We'll end this while we're ahead.
It's late.
Thanks for listening, and come back in 2 weeks. Until then, Adam, why don't you take us out?
Until then, go get Monster Hunter Generations if you're not playing it. It's the best Monster Hunter game ever made, and a whole lot of fun.
Okay, but...
But that sounds like an ad.
Okay, but you could do,
a song you were singing.
Everybody here at this table, you can recruit as a cat and go kick monsters' asses. How can you not do that?
How about we do, you know when you make a well-done steak?
Ooh.
And in Japanese, it's yokudeki mashita. Well, I don't remember what the English is.
So tasty. So
do the music, though.
There it was.
So tasty.
I don't know what they are.
Yokudekimashita.
Done.
So,
and done.
Boom.
Did you make that sound interesting?
Backstage here, Monday Night Raw in Detroit. Breezango getting the victory against the Lucha Dragons.
Well, yeah, you know, we've wrestled, alligators, right, Breezy? Crocodiles, ostriches, caribou, bear, black bear, brown bear. Breezy.
Yeah.
Breezy.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Breeze.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Breeze, what are you doing?
Hold on.
What?
I'll be right back. What?
Is he okay? Timothy. Run with me, Timothy. Run with me. Run with me. Run with me. What is it?
Okay, so, have you ever heard of Pokemon Go?
No.
Everyone's playing it.
Pokemon?
Well, it's, no.
Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go. But, Pokemon Go. So, it all runs on GPS, and so right here is a tower or a gym, and I am about to become the gym leader, and then I leave my best Pokemon here, and then I'm on the yellow team. Are you following any of this?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, well, I'm currently the gym leader. I left my best person here.
What are you talking about?
I'll check on it later.
Okay. What is he? Timothy, what? Pokemon. Magic cards? Pokemons? Wait, you know what? I'm the gym leader now, Timothy.